Hey, Joel Radio, welcome. Hey, how you doing?
What's happening?
Joel here. How you doing? Joel Fragamenti, Corey Hall.
Sherlock.
Sitting right over there. Joel Radio. Your home for all Buffalo Bills, New York Jets, makeup game, and Ford Field coverage. We are the podcast for that. We just got back from that.
Yeah. Go Bills.
We went down and saw...
Go to hell, Jets.
We saw football played by people way more talented than us with only slightly better results, that being 3 points for the Jets. It was
the
so bad.
The Jets were brutal.
So bad.
So what happened was that Buffalo got 6 feet of snow.
They did.
Because Buffalo is this unholy... I like Buffalo. It's I have at least one person I know in Buffalo who's very cool.
Oh, okay.
I've been to Buffalo a few times, done comedy in Buffalo.
Okay.
I enjoy a beef on whack sandwich.
Enjoy some wings.
Yeah, have a nice wing, a beef on whack. But I'll say that it's got the location of Buffalo.
Yeah.
It's just east of Lake Erie.
Yeah.
Which means that all of the garbage that, because weather patterns in America tend to run from west to east.
Yes.
Right? The wind patterns.
That's how it works here.
Sometimes they'll come north to south.
Right, yeah.
But most weather patterns through the jet stream travel that way, western to easterly. And so Buffalo is on the edge of a lake, and they get the lake effect snow, which means all of the moisture from the Great Lakes, which we're... just to the west of the Great Lakes. I mean, we got Lake Michigan, but...
Well, we're to the east of Lake Michigan, but we're so far east that
we're a couple hundred miles away.
We don't get the lake effect snow.
And so all the Lake Huron and Lake Erie snow dumps on Buffalo just like some kind of meteorological bukkake, and they get 6 feet of snow.
And in November, where it's completely unusual to get...
It's very
not, early. Not to get no snow in Buffalo.
It's
in November,
early for this amount of snow.
But I mean, I think this is the most snow they've ever gotten in that period of time. I think it's not a season's worth of snow, but I think for one storm, I think it's the most snow Buffalo's ever gotten. But it's completely unusual. Although here's my argument to say fuck Buffalo.
What
I'm going to say here's what you know by now.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when it was the 1830s and you moved to Buffalo and you built a log cabin and you started your business or whatever, you made your family, you maybe didn't realize you were getting lake effect snow. It may have seemed like an unfortunate event to get snow. We fucking know that Buffalo is going to get this amount of snow. And true, this week was unusual, but you kind of go, well, how bad do you really feel for them? But they couldn't play football at Ralph Wilson Stadium this week, so they moved the game from Sunday afternoon in Buffalo to Monday night here in Detroit. They gave away free tickets.
Now, I don't know the rationale other than the fact that Ford Field is a dome.
It's an indoor stadium.
And so there is no chance of a weather blackout again.
And it wasn't.
Chance.
Not only was the stadium not being used, but the practice facility
was available
because the Lions were on the road in Boston to play the New England Patriots. So it was, the closest city wherein the facilities and the stadium would be available, and it is indoors.
And depending if you go through Canada or what, I think Buffalo's about 5 hours away.
Yeah, I mean, you're 4 or 5 hours if you go through Canada. So. If you do the other way, maybe 6. But so, yeah, I mean, it was convenient. The Jets were going to fly in anyway, so it wasn't really any inconvenience to them. Mm-hmm. In fact, it was really to the Jets' advantage to play the game indoors at a neutral site than in Buffalo, even though there were, 10,000 Buffalo Bills fans there probably pretty easily?
Oh, more than that.
I mean, there were 40, 50 in the stadium. Itself, but
the Bills had reserved sections, which were like the best sections in the house.
The whole one side
line. Had four sections that were
so that's made 10,000 at 10, least 15, minimum. Yeah. Or
and then there were a lot of Bills fans
and there
scattered
were, and there were Jets
everywhere.
Fans, and then there were guys like us who were just in Detroit, got free tickets, and went.
A lot of Lions people there, but there were a smattering of Jets fans. But the battle for New York happened in Michigan.
Yeah. So we went there, watched the game. 38-3 was the final score. It was a complete laugher. The Jets sucked an egg. Michael Vick got knocked out of the game. whether he was knocked out by injury or just by pure performance, or maybe a little bit of both, he got pulled in the fourth quarter. And then Geno Smith came in to replace him. He didn't do any better. But I told people this too. I made Mark Ridley laugh because I told him that this was the asshole bowl. Because it was like Jim Schwartz, the former Lions head coach, who's the defensive coordinator in Buffalo, Marty Morningweg, the former Lions head coach, offensive coordinator in New York. Plus, you got Rex
Ryan.
I'll
take the wind.
You got Rex Ryan coaching for the Jets, who's an asshole.
Yeah, it's
Michael Vick, the quarterback of the Jets. So, I mean, I really, you know, Percy Harvin, Chris Johnson. I mean, you could make the argument this really was a bunch of a-holes playing football. But we went down there and had a good time anyway, enjoyed the 38-3 ass-kicking.
Yeah.
Courtesy of the Bills. That was a good time. So I can't complain.
It was fun. I mean, it's free and fun football. They did turn it. Thank you. It's late.
Had a pretzel. A good
yeah,
time.
You waited like a quarter and a half for a pretzel?
Yeah, I waited all of. Well, I peed during halftime. And then it took me until about 9 minutes of the third quarter. So another five. So about 20 minutes to get a pretzel.
Unbelievable.
Ridiculous.
You missed. Bills kicked a field goal and blocked a kick for a touchdown.
Yeah, they kicked a 53-yarder, nice long field goal.
It was a good
goal.
Field goal.
And then they blocked punt for a touchdown.
Yes, sir.
Which I saw on the little TV
now,
at the
concession they had the Bills logo out on the Ford Field, and then on Thursday it'll be a Lions stadium again.
It was Bills home game.
But it was a Bills home game, and they had all the banners around the sides were Bills stuff, and they video screens. And it was kind of funny to see the other another NFL town's
yeah,
really lame. I mean, we've been to games in other places. And
yeah, we went to Cleveland.
We've been to Chicago and Cleveland and stuff. But it was funny to see your home stadium turned into another team's stadium.
Yeah, and it was, you know, and they have their first down sound effect.
Yes.
That's different.
Which
there's
is
a train. Like a
train, which I don't know why.
Is worse than the roaring lion.
Well, okay, so when they scored, I think, they'd have a video of stampeding buffaloes in the snow.
Then it was a kickoff, was the stampede.
Oh, was that the kick?
Well, it was after they scored then,
okay.
Yeah. So
after
they would
scored.
Kick off, yeah.
So there'd be a video, little video shot. We have got a lion in a cage that roars and stuff. And theirs would be stampeding buffaloes. Yeah. And then their fight song was a version of Shout.
Yeah, the Isley Brothers Shout. But kind of a...
With buffalo lyrics.
Yeah. We are buffalo. Isn't that how it is?
It was like... Go ahead, Buffalo.
Buffalo.
Whatever. I don't know what it was, but let's go, Buffalo.
Let's go, Buffalo.
Yes, to the tune of the Isles. Hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey. Call
so
and
anyway,
response lyrics is what that's called,
right.
Corey.
But not like our majestic fight song.
Ba 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 ba. Go, Corey!
Forward down the field, the charging team that will not yield.
All right. Enough. And when the blue and silver wave,
there you go. Stand and cheer the brave. Hey, right, hey, right, right. Go hard, win the game. All right. Singing the Lions fight song.
Down the field. Well, I remember when the Lions sucked on, you know, in the Millen era.
When
I would see,
wait,
well, I know,
wait,
I know.
Remember when the Lions
sucked? I know, but I mean,
for your entire life?
Well, we used to go, and I used to say, our team is so lame, the Lions. So I used to change the lyrics to fight song.
We did a lot of that.
We did a lot of that because they lost.
The Lions are now, they're 7-3.
Yeah.
With potential.
I think we're 7-4.
7-4,
now.
Excuse
yeah,
me.
I think 7-4.
So they were 6-2.
Yeah.
And they screwed around and made it 7-4. Yeah. Or were they 7-2?
No, they were 7-2. They beat Miami to go
7-2.
They beat,
And they were rolling, and then they've lost two in a row. But
two tough road games against the best team with the best record in the NFC and the team with the best record in the AFC. Are the teams that beat us in their respective home stadiums.
One was close.
No. Well, yeah, but
one was a close road loss, and then this game was a drubbing by the Patriots.
Well,
I don't know why we're doing NFL.
The Lions haven't scored a touchdown in two games. It's a little bit worrisome, but we're going to see how it goes. We still can beat the Packers on the last week if we hold tight with them and win the division.
I will say it was a fairly well-behaved crowd. The best moment of the game was
it really was.
Two guys ran on the field and pulled their – they weren't even streakers. They were like –
the shirts were like over their heads.
They
how guys
pulled their shirts
there.
Up,
yeah. And they looked like young morons.
They were young morons, yeah. I can attest, based on their speed.
Yeah.
Because old morons would have gotten caught quicker.
Yeah.
But they made one of the security guys, and it's like a middle-aged dude in a sport coat.
Right, yeah.
Like a brown sport coat.
Right.
He had to run from about the 15-yard line
right.
on the opposite side down to the end zone.
He had to essentially do like a punt return.
And he was booking it.
A full blast,
just booking it to run down. And then they had two guys, so they split the defense.
Yeah.
And so security had to go in two different directions. Well, and the one guy made a great juke.
Yeah.
And got around a guy, and then he got like his legs taken out like in a chop block.
And then they handcuffed the guys and hauled them off.
Well, they did.
But and then they tried to get like the Jets players to high five them and stuff. And the Jets players, they must have a meeting where they tell those guys, "Hey, don't touch these players, don't touch the fans, or you're going to get sued or something." Because you know they probably.
I don't think the players really want these guys.
I mean
they're.
They don't know. Yeah, they don't know that those guys don't have knives or something, and you know, or guns or something to hurt them with. But yeah, that the fans actually rose to their feet in unison when the two guys ran on the field. It was pretty funny. So it was a good time. I had a nice time with Corey and his friend Roger down at the Ford Field.
It was good. I mean, for free, can't beat it.
Hey, I'll take an out-of-town game for free once a year.
Look,
let's do it.
I'll go to a football stadium, watch football played by one team and another team choke on its own dong. I mean, the Jets were brutal.
Sure.
Like, they lost in every – like, it wasn't like, okay, the Lions – made a go of it for about two quarters Sunday and then fell apart.
Right.
The Jets were just brutal the whole time.
Yeah, they were terrible from the beginning to the end.
It was a total team
from the first
failure drive
to the end. All three facets of the game.
And
terrible.
The Bills, you know, took advantage.
The Bills were the Bills. The Bills were, but you know what I mean? You didn't need a good football team to beat the Jets
tonight.
I would not
put that on the Bills.
No.
I would put that on the Jets being brutal.
The Bills... Whatever. Don't be taking too many bows, Bills. All right. Look, we supported your ass tonight, but don't go crazy. You beat the worst, arguably the worst team in football. Although Raiders fans and Jacksonville fans will probably have something to say about that. Mm-hmm. But the Jets might be the worst team in the league, and
they were bad.
They were bad. So anyway, that was a great time, and then we're just getting back into the podcast here. We did miss a couple weeks. We want to say apologies for that. It was some scheduling.
I'm sorry if you've had commutes where you couldn't hear my observations about new Dorito flavors. And I feel bad about that. Call in to 610-552-0746.
You can do that, yeah.
And to the Kanye John,
the Papa Kanye.
For the next couple weeks.
Because we're going to do Assholes of the Year and rename the douchebag.
Oh, I got so many names.
Well, you know what? Let's just get right into it then. Because, I mean, I know for 4 weeks and without saying his name, Corey's been like, I know who, you know, we'll talk privately, and Corey will say, I know who the asshole is.
Well, we've got a new number one.
It's got to be, that's what I'm saying. Like, now, we got a real horse race for Asshole of the Year, and I'm not even sure if this, here's my argument against this guy for Asshole of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
How much did he do in 2014 to really, this is 30 years of assholery coming back to bite him in the ass.
Our rule is that I think we have decided retroactively to take dictators and actual... tyrants and you know,
well,
despicable human, because
if Kim Jong-un does something specific this year, I think it can qualify, but it's not a lifetime achievement
award. Okay, because look,
because as much as you're saying it, I don't think Oprah's going to qualify this year.
Oh, God.
And I know that's going to rub your ass that Oprah isn't in, but I'm not sure what Oprah did this year to really warrant that. But
Oprah should be a Hall of Famer.
Well, we've talked about the Asshole Hall of Fame, and should we have one?
Yes.
Should there be a physical building to house this? How can we make this happen?
It will be in Canton, Michigan.
Not Canton, Ohio.
Not Canton, Ohio, but Canton, Michigan.
Canton, Michigan. Okay. Maybe I could...
You know what? There's a Hell, Michigan.
There is a Hell, Michigan.
What if we got the Asshole Hall of Fame in Hell, Michigan?
In Hell, Michigan?
Assholes in Hell.
What if I said I could get, like, a space somewhere in Ferndale for the Asshole Hall of Fame? Like, there's comedy clubs, and there's bars, and there's
Is there somebody in Detroit that's selling, like... There was a jerk I met in a bar once that was selling like 1 foot parcels of land for like an art project.
Okay. I met the guy who was selling 1 foot parcels of land for Scotland the other day.
Oh.
Yeah. I met that guy at the TV station. I was down there with the comedian from.
Wait, you could buy a parcel
I've got, where is
land
his,
for Scotland?
I think his business, I don't know where, I have a flyer and a business card. But you buy somebody, it's $48.
Yeah.
I can buy a 1 foot by 1 foot parcel of Scottish land. And now you are Laird Corey Hall.
Oh, I'm landed?
Yeah, you are now a Laird, which is a Scottish lord, means you're a Scottish landowner. And you get a certificate.
This is like naming a constellation.
It's kind of like naming a star. And because this guy came on the show, and I know you know the guy, and I know you'll be happy for him. But I just want you to know that Lee Thomas from Fox 2 is now a Scottish Laird. I saw his whole package. If anyone should be ruling a little bit of Scotland, it's Lee, right? I mean, I think we can all agree on that. Lee.
I hope he is a just and and forgiving.
Right. I hope he's you can buy a parcel of land. So yeah, there's shit like that that goes on. But anyway, I mean, could I get? Here's what I'm thinking about the Asshole Hall of Fame, though, Corey.
Yeah.
What about if I could get like a spot in like the Rust Belt market or something where you can like rent a storefront or like the Gibraltar Trade Center?
Is there a way to make this? I know the owners of the Rust Belt.
That's why I'm
well.
Saying, yeah.
We might be able to make something.
I mean, it would be a tourist attraction to say we have the Asshole Hall of Fame.
You know, unfortunately, the Gibraltar Trade Center just closed in Taylor.
Oh, but there's one in McClemens.
But we could have taken the
Oh, and got the whole building to be the Asshole. Okay, well, they're closing the Buffalo Wild Wings in Ferndale and moving into Royal Oak. It's a big space.
That's a good space for the Asshole Hall.
We would have to have interactive asshole exhibits set up. We would have to have
be wonderful if we had any listeners to justify this and we had any stroke and we could start a Kickstarter to
Asshole Hall of Fame.
Would be in a fictional universe in which people would even call in to 610-552-0747.
Lots of people listen. Believe me, I had a talk with the guys from the Ford plant the other day.
I get people who tell me
I know,
they listen,
but
they just don't send us.
The medium. It's the medium.
I know there's a lot of podcasts out there competing for your attention.
Yeah, there are.
Joel and I have been at this for a long time.
I know.
And all I want is a little feedback, a little support, a little love. Maybe you can send your nickels. You can send your shekels. Or nudies. Whatever it takes.
Remember, you can always leave a comment on the front page of joelradio.net in the show description. There's a place for comments on there. You can go to the Joel Radio Facebook page and like us on there. Of course, you can review the show on iTunes if you'd like to do that. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can subscribe on Stitcher. There's also a way to contact us directly through the Joel Radio page. There's a contact tab on the top there, so you can hit that and let us know what you think of the show. Make Corey happy. So.
I've got names on this list I'd forgotten.
Oh, the assholes of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be fun to do. But let's talk about the guy who's in the running without Maury pussyfooting around.
I got about 50.
Yeah, I got about 35 on my list, I think, at this point.
Oh, my list is amazing.
But, of course, the comedy story of the week, and this is what it ties into, Bill Cosby under fire right and left for drugging and sexually assaulting women, and these accusations going back to the 60s, I believe. And
these are like 45-year-old allegations.
Yeah,
at this point.
Yeah, which you know, granted, look, 45-year allegations, I don't know really what those are good for, but you know what? They got this Jimmy Savile guy over in England, and a lot of these BBC DJs and these guys that were around then for abusing, you know, raping teenage girls and that kind of stuff. So, I mean, is there something to this Cosby story? I mean, is there something to this?
Okay, you got to imagine, okay, if it had been Janice Dickinson, the notorious cokehead, walking disaster, human steaming garbage pile.
Fucking supermodel.
Supermodel, yes. I mean, she went on the Howard Stern show and talked about how she spent a weekend in Vienna in a threesome with Dolph Lundgren and Grace Jones.
Yeah?
I mean, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Imagine that. But, I mean, she's a steaming pile of crap.
Yeah.
And when I see her name attached to something, I tend to go, well, that can't be true.
Sure, yeah.
Because she's a fame whore, and she's just greedy for attention. And if I see Gloria Allred's name attached to something, the number one
Is she
fame
involved
whore
with some of these women that are accusing Cosby?
I haven't seen Gloria. She'd be out doing interviews if she had been hired for this.
Yeah.
But when I see that there's, 18 to 20 women have come forth at this point, that to me seems like there's too much smoke.
Yeah, there's a lot of smoke, and the methodology seems to be the same. Cosby gave me a drink with some. He gave me a pill.
It's like
I told Bill I couldn't sleep. He gave me a pill. Next thing you know, I woke up.
It's like alien abduction stories. They're all the same. You know what I mean? They're like
everyone's
little
a cornfield, and a beam of light comes
little
down.
Little gray guys with big heads pull them. I mean, it seems like a very consistent pattern.
Well, did you see Janice Dickinson? She described Cosby's patchwork robe. And then she actually had some Polaroids of the night, and Cosby's drinking a 40 with his robe open, and it is a patchwork, loud Cosby sweater-esque pattern.
The rape allegations aside, and I don't want to take them
right.
lightly. But here's the thing. Remember the Duke lacrosse case?
Yes.
It's not like there are not phony. Remember Tawana Brawley?
Tawana Brawley, yeah.
It's not like there are never false rape accusations.
William Kennedy Smith, I mean, he was acquitted. You know, I mean, whether
Wait,
that
is
was...
it the Martha Moxley? No.
No, that was the uncle or whatever.
Oh, okay. You know, well, he was guilty.
William Kennedy Smith was acquitted. The woman gave him a, you know, when he's testified, he said the girl, they were on the beach and the woman gave him a hand job.
Yeah.
While she was drunk, and then she blew him or something.
Okay.
So, yeah.
But my point is when there's 20,
yeah.
18 to 20 over right. a period from the late 60s
yeah.
to, I don't know, the late 90s.
I'm not
like
sure.
That,
I mean, one of them came, you know, during the Janet Jackson came during the Cosby show. So that was in the, I think, the late 90s or the early 90s.
I don't
sorry,
know how
80s,
recently they are.
Yeah.
I mean, the girl, one of the girls was like, I worked on picture pages.
Yeah.
And he was. Right. Drinking, he was giving me drinks.
Right,
the pattern is that's disturbing because
and there are women that said when he guest hosted Letterman that there was some not that he raped any of them, but
he made the young female snappers come in and watch him eat.
What that means, I have no idea. Of course, I've seen lots of depraved shit on the internet. I've never seen a guy eat curry as a sexual... That I've never seen.
I don't know what that is.
That would be new to me.
Watch me eat.
Right. Okay, but anyway.
Now, okay, and by the way, in defense of a guy who's had his own scandal...
Yeah.
Which, by the way, wasn't a scandal, except that a guy blackmailed him.
Yeah.
David Letterman.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever gone, wow, that creep David Letterman?
No.
Has David Letterman banged a bunch of chicks?
Sure.
Yes, but you know what?
Yeah.
Apparently, Dave did it in a way that they wanted to be with Dave Letterman.
And Clinton banged a bunch of chicks, and Clinton, for the most part, got away with it, except for the one.
Well,
and you know,
no, not more than one. Because, by the way, remember that Monica,
well, Paula Jones.
Remember that Monica, by the way, yeah. did not want.
Yeah, she didn't want to rat him out. She liked him.
Yeah,
she was in love with the guy.
She was coerced by that Linda.
Linda Tripp. Yeah, she.
But Jennifer Flowers came out.
Yeah, Jennifer Flowers came out.
And
the
then
stuff
Paula
that he did
Jones,
as the governor yeah, so.
Came out, but she lost her seat. Yeah. But anyway, again, this goes back to a thing I say all the time.
Yeah.
If you are globally famous,
yeah.
a Bill Clinton, a Bill Cosby,
yeah.
who has been famous, who has been internationally renowned, I mean, American famous for 50 years, and probably. Probably fairly well known internationally, Bill Cosby.
Oh, yeah.
For a half century, I got a feeling that those people, in most of the time, I mean, there's no hard science.
No.
We're not psychologists, obviously not. We're fat humps that are barely on the fringes of show business. But the point is, I think that you don't get that famous. I think you don't get to a level of power without having a voracious sexual appetite.
Well,
and oftentimes that coincides.
It's not just that; it's that women want to bang you when you're rich and powerful.
Right.
You know, women throw themselves at you, and so mm-hmm. you know the opportunities to get laid. I mean, geez, Corey. I mean, think about your life. I mean, you're married now, but think about the opportunities that you would have had of getting laid if you were. You know what I'm saying? Like, take the number of the amount of sex you had
a day,
as a single man.
Not a week.
Yeah.
Not an hour.
Yeah.
Not a five-minute span of my life doesn't go by where I think, what if I was famous?
Yeah.
And how wet right. would my wick be
think
right
about,
now?
Think about all the nights you went to the bar
yes,
went home alone.
Went home and beat
right.
my pillow.
And just think if you went to the bar as a famous guy or a rich guy, how much more girls would come back home with you after the bar? I mean, it would be unbelievable.
I can only dream.
You'd get laid every night if you wanted to.
Every sexual encounter I ever had in my life.
Yeah.
I earned. I had to work.
You worked, you put in many hours.
I had to hustle.
Absolutely.
I mean, some of them were easier than others.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like, you know, none. I don't know if pussy was ever handed to me.
Never. Never.
Joel, was pussy ever handed to you?
Yeah, a couple times. But generally speaking, I've worked hard.
You do have a venue in which you're a quasi-celebrity.
I am famous.
In a subculture.
And even in comedy, you don't really get laid from doing comedy.
Guys who, by the way, tell you that you're going to get road pussy all the time.
Yeah, that's a bunch of shit.
Are the biggest liars in comedy.
No, but there is something.
What's worse,
to...
I never had a bad set. Or I get all this.
Well, I'm not saying you get laid, but there are opportunities with, not just the audience, but female comedians. You might have more of a chance with, you know, comedy club waitresses. There's a little bit of, you know, there's a little bit of a something there. There's a little
well,
bit
well, no, there
you get a little bit of juice with certain facets of people.
Comedy club waitresses, as we've said many times, and that used to be a recurring theme in this show.
I know.
I mean, I believe that if you want to get rid of the word slut shaming,
yeah,
you don't want to stop shaming sluts.
Right.
Replace that with comedy club waitress.
Well, you know what? It's funny that actually as comedy has changed over the years and even the years that we've been in it, I've been in it almost 15 years now. It's been 15 years exactly this month, November 2014. The comedy club waitress being a slut is kind of going away.
That
it is sort
they're
of
taking
going
everything
the way,
away from
it. I know.
They're taking it all away.
Well, first of all, you don't have the weekly clubs like you used to. At
there's
least
fewer
here,
weekly clubs,
which means that you don't have those girls that see you three nights in a row and that you can build a relationship with. So that is sort of gone. So now you're going into one nighters, and you know maybe you see this person once a year if you're lucky.
It's
one.
Harder to build.
So it's harder thing. To build, and you can go back in the staff's completely.
Look,
new, so.
I have never once.
You've never banged a comedy club waitress.
And been involved with a staff member of a comedy club.
That makes one of us.
Thank you.
But again, it hasn't been like I banged 50 of them. It's been a couple. You know what I mean? A couple.
Well, you know, that'll happen. Couple. Yeah. Look, I know what you're saying, though. The girls that work at the comedy clubs, it used to be you'd go out and drink with the staff.
Yeah, and you'd go hang out.
That could just be that we're old.
Yeah,
but
you know.
It seems like a lot of places
the
I
club,
go.
Like the Connections club was in Lansing, and it was a college town. And I've been to college parties with the staff and some of the girls.
That club was particularly had a party
in
atmosphere.
Ann Arbor. Those girls were all college students in that club.
I'm saying the late lamented Connections of Lansing.
Now you go to the Comedy Castle where I work. It's basically single moms. Who are or married women who
don't
are just
tell
making
me that's
money.
Not a lucrative.
No, I know. Because as soon as I said that, I go, oh, fuck, Corey's going to jump all over me and say that single moms won't fuck
look,
you.
Look,
but no, but I mean, they're not there to party.
Look,
these chicks,
look,
they're there to make money.
I'm not saying being a Nebraskan farmer is an easy life.
Yeah,
but you can make money doing it.
Sure,
you know what I'm saying. Right. And I'm saying you can work. That single mom poontang.
There are fringe benefits to the comedy. But let's go back to Cosby. Fuck us getting laid at the comedy club.
Well, please.
No.
I didn't get laid at the comedy club for two important factors. One, I didn't think it. I always felt it wasn't professional to hit on the waitstaff.
Yeah, absolutely.
And two, I'm ugly. Well, so, that's, you know.
Right. Number two never stopped me. But anyway. So let's go back to Cosby. So Cosby is accused of this. There's now Washington Post did a whole breakdown. In fact, it was so long I couldn't even finish the goddamn article. Mm. Washington Post has a whole thing about every woman that's accusing Cosby. Believe the number is into more than a dozen now, correct? I mean, that are on the record identifying themselves, accusing Bill Cosby.
I'm saying.
The one woman is just saying she accused him of they were at the Johnny Carson Tonight Show and he unzipped his pants. And said, if you suck on this, it will bring you good luck, and stuck his dick in her mouth or something. So,
okay, but,
really weird shit.
But again, back to the, there's the copycat thing.
Well, yeah.
Back to the whole, like, alien abduction.
Yeah.
When alien abductions were reported, they all started following a pattern.
Yeah.
And how many of those, and I think a good number of them, were people that were just like, well, I heard how alien abductions go, and I'm going to claim I was abducted by an alien.
The argument, Tiger Woods thing, same thing, where all these women came out. We never even know. I mean, Tiger didn't even refute the claims at some point because he just went like.
Those women, though, didn't say Tiger raped me.
No, yeah, I
they
know.
Said
but
I had
they,
sex
they,
with
yeah.
Tiger.
But they were all, a lot of them were getting deals to sell their stories. And so they were like, well, I fucked Tiger. And they'd
that's going to happen.
They'd get 30 grand from you know, OK Magazine or People or something.
I'll tell you this. It has made me really reevaluate Cosby and his legacy.
Oh, yeah.
And if you look at Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
Name a great Bill Cosby movie.
Well, I know where you're going with this. And
he had what? Okay. I can name three decent movies Bill Cosby was in.
Well, he's not known as a movie star.
In the 70s, Mother Jugs and Speed.
Yeah.
And Saturday Night, Uptown Saturday Night.
Yeah.
And Doing It All Again. Which
look at you.
The sequel.
Hey-o.
Okay, but those are like mediocre B-movie comedies.
No, they were kind of genre pictures in their day.
That's about as good as it got.
He's
for him
known
as a
for having the biggest sitcom of the decade, of its decade. Yes. That would have been the 80s and The Cosby Show. A touring comedian, one of the top touring comedian draws of all time.
I defy you to go watch The Cosby Show now.
Oh, no, absolutely.
And make it through an episode.
Well, The Cosby Show was It was good in its simplicity. You know what I mean? It was basically Leave It to Beaver with, okay, you know, an upper class black couple.
Yes.
More kids, you know.
Now, when we were young, yeah, which was back in the, I think the Australopithecine, whatever, Helocampus walked the earth, back in the Triassic period. No, I remember as a kid, I liked Bill Cosby because he had, yeah, Fat Albert.
Sure.
He had a cartoon show, mm-hmm, and that appealed to kids, and that was on in the late 70s.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing you got to consider.
Right.
Big show, Fat Albert.
He had Fat Albert.
Yeah.
And you know, the Brown Horn.
I Spy.
And I remember he would do Picture Pages, which was like,
yeah,
a segment that was on, I think, Captain Kangaroo or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know if that was like something that just was sort of to fill time during.
It was like, it wasn't long. It was like a,
yeah, if it was
5-6 minutes.
If
segment.
It was between the shows on one of the Saturday,
right,
morning networks.
It was on things. Saturday morning as, yeah, a little buffer, and Bill, yeah, Cobb to do the Picture Pages.
Picture Pages, Picture Pages, Picture Pages.
Time to grab your crayon and your pencil.
Blah, blah.
You could do the Picture Pages. Come along.
What's the parody song? Time for rape and time for rape, oh, and ask a girl and time for rape and time to grab your booze and your quaaludes. Hey!
Wow.
Hey-o, Joel Radio.
Quick writing, folks.
That's right. Look, this is a sharp mind here.
This is
a trained comedic mind. I made 3.5 hours of Jets jokes nonstop, and Corey can tell you,
you did.
It was nonstop Jets one-liners down at Ford Field.
Look,
three of them worked. It was not,
no, we had a good. We were goofing on everything.
We were
and
goofing on everybody. Was that? I mean,
I want to know: has anyone questioned Mortimer Ichabod Marker? Has he made a comment?
Who's that?
That was on Picture Pages.
Oh, Picture.
He would be like, "Take out your." Now it's time for me and Mortimer Ichabod Marker to draw the thing. And you do the bad Cosby.
Well, but
impression.
That's, you know, that's the thing about Cosby is he had this golden reputation as,
yeah,
you know, wholesome,
right,
family values,
mm-hmm,
all that stuff.
You know who else has that?
The 80s, you know, the Reagan era, mm-hmm, you know, trickle-down economics, prosperous America,
right,
reputation.
You know who else has that?
Who's
that reputation?
Who's that?
The Catholic Church.
Okay, well, not anymore.
I know, but I'm saying.
I know.
Okay, isn't it about time, everybody, that we just, okay. You know who I never heard raped anybody?
Who's that?
George Carlin.
Right, yeah.
You know who had a filthy mouth and a, yeah, dirty mind?
Right, yeah.
George Carlin.
Sure, yeah.
You know who never raped anybody? We haven't never heard a rape allegation, yeah, about? Bill Maher.
Right, Lenny Bruce.
That's what I'm saying.
No, yeah, exactly.
But Bill Maher is, yeah, honest about, I want to smash some puss.
Yeah, exactly.
Dice Clay,
yeah,
the dirtiest,
right,
most foul comic that ever lived, the Gloria Steinem, and now,
right,
and the NAACP,
yeah,
and everybody with, you know, B'nai B'rith, everybody wanted,
sure,
to, even though he's a Jew, everybody wanted to hang Andrew Dice Clay.
Yeah,
I've never heard one fucking person,
well, but think about,
bitch about,
okay,
Andrew Dice Clay.
Even more than that,
a roofie.
Let's even take this farther.
Yeah,
Gene Simmons, Tommy,
right,
Lee, Ozzy Osbourne.
Sure.
Def Leppard.
Well,
you know,
I've heard Gene
guys.
Simmons is an asshole.
Right, but I mean,
I've never heard anybody like.
That's right, but
he
I'm saying,
kidnapped my 16-year-old sister.
But those guys fucked everything, right, under the sun, and you know,
well,
you know, never got
that,
accused of that.
And that is because,
yeah,
now Cosby has never been explicitly religious.
No,
he's been traditionalist family values.
Right.
Is his pig, is pinhole, pigeonhole.
I
went through a lot of words there. Look,
he has always lectured comedians,
yes,
about their acts.
Yes.
I mean, famously, Eddie Murphy made fun of
that Eddie
him
Murphy
for...
bit, which I would do on a routine basis. My wife and I would like,
yeah,
you can't say filth from flying to people.
Yeah.
We have enjoyed Cosby as a joke, as a punchline.
Sure.
Personally, I made me really think about this, and everybody has affection for Cosby.
Yeah.
And a couple of weeks ago, he went on Stephen Colbert.
Yeah.
Before any of this shit broke.
Yeah.
Before Hannibal Buress. Dropped the fucking,
right, we haven't
Jimmy,
talked about his angle in,
well,
this, yeah,
he dropped the big Jimmy Snuka elbow off the top rope on him, right? I mean,
well, if Jimmy Snuka, it's going to be a big cross flying cross body
flying
block.
Cross body block,
yeah,
excuse
Randy
me.
Savage would drop,
sorry,
the elbow
or
off
the frog top splash of
Eddie Guerrero,
yeah. But anyway, I'm now thinking who, oh, Savage, Randy Savage,
as I said, Macho Man Randy, okay, Savage dropped the elbow
anyway. Like, I don't know, about a month or so ago, a month and a half, he went on,
yeah,
Colbert, and was like a rambling fucking old man.
Exactly.
And the audience...
He's 77 now.
But the audience went... They just adored this man.
Yeah, yeah.
And they loved him up so much that whatever he was in... The, what if I knew a woman that was in a car and there was a pudding and a snake?
Yeah.
And he just rambled on incoherently like an old man. He's got the old man watery eyes, by the way.
Yes. That bothers you explicitly more than anything else about
when Kyle. People are like... is it over for Bill Cosby?
Yeah.
I'm like, he's got the old man watery eyes.
It's about,
it's that's whenever the eyes
he's almost like,
the eyes are watery.
It's almost like a Joe Paterno.
It's a good sign. Right.
It's almost like a Joe Paterno at this point where you just go, he's going to drop. He's not just not going to wake up one day and we're all going to have this hanging over. And I think that's too bad. But I agree with you. I think Cosby, something clearly went on. I mean, I know that the guy came out of woodwork that said that, you know, he would, did you hear this story where Cosby would hand this guy cash? He was his fixer in his Cosby days in NBC. He would hand the guy cash, and Cosby would pay all his mistresses with money orders. The guy would go down, and in his own name, this guy, his assistant, would write out these money orders and mail them around to different women and pay off Cosby's bitches.
Now, when it comes to deviant perversions, at least in Cosby's defense, it was not gay or underage.
Well, as far as we know, I mean, that's what we're
on the
not,
spectrum
not,
of
so at least
at least it was just he wanted to have sex with women of age.
It was women of age. But here's something that
go ahead.
Well, here's something that I learned about and like you said, I'm famous in a certain world, and I've hung out with people way more famous than me and people that everyone would know. And I think I've hung out with people that would qualify as women throw themselves at them and you know, want to have sex with them. And one particular guy who I will not name now, and please don't even make a guess, Corey, because it just always, I know you like to, when you say I won't name the guy, that you'll just go, it rhymes with, but, you know, and just please don't do that if you will. And if you just please butt your tongue for 2 seconds. And just, if you want to know, I'll tell you off the air. But a guy said, this is what you, and he said, look, he pulled me aside. He said, look, if these girls want to sleep with you, here's what you got to do. He says, you get them to write you a note. He says, actually, the best thing to do is to videotape the sex that you have with a fan. He says, that's the best way, is to videotape. If you can't videotape, you can audiotape the sex that you have with these fans. In lieu of that, he said, the best thing to do is to get them to write you a note. And write down, in my case, it would say, hey, Joel, it was fun hanging out with you. Thanks for the good time. I'll see you again. Ashley... and then their phone number. And you have to take this and you collect these and you have a spot in your house where you keep all these. Because you never know, one day this could come back.
I cannot,
and there's a guy.
I cannot believe Bob Newhart.
Well, you know what? God damn it. I'm going to have to edit that off the show now. God damn it. But listen, the point is, and now I know that sounds ridiculous.
I can't.
And I know that sounds silly. And I know that sounds dumb. And I know that sounds like, who would fucking actually do that? And then I watched the fucking guy do that.
I can't believe Nancy Russell gave you that advice.
Listen. I couldn't believe that Jim Nabors did that in front of me.
Exactly.
I'm going to bleep that out.
Fred Trevelina looked you right in the eye.
And then Gilbert said, if you get a note, and I said, and Gilbert said, no, I'm going to have to edit this all out. Sorry.
Don't, please.
No, I'm not.
Now that one might be
I'm
true.
I'm not impeaching Gilbert Godfrey. No, Gilbert's a good guy. But no, that's what I was told by a famous guy. And I go, yeah, maybe Cosby should be doing that. And maybe these guys do that. And maybe that's why you never hear shit about Charlie Sheen, as an example, or, you know, these rock stars. Because they've got roadies to videotape them banging these chicks and stuff.
But I think the difference is that guys like Bill Maher are selective and smart about who they hook up with.
Yeah.
And they find women that are, you know, I don't think Bill, you know what I think Bill Maher dates? Doesn't date the, like, new intern or whatever.
Yeah.
He probably finds a model or an actress who's been around a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's just smarter about it. And it's not a... This Cosby thing, when you're drugging women...
Yeah.
If you're that famous, someone will fuck you.
Right, but again, if... Rape's not about... I mean, I know I hate to sound like a hardcore feminist, but, you know, rape's not about sex... the drugging thing is could be a whole fetish thing.
The drugging
that
well,
is aside from the
I have
sex.
A difficulty calling.
I know you're going. Why he doesn't have to drug women to have sex, but it's still he's still accused of drugging women.
Well,
I mean, you don't have to suck on a woman's tits before you fuck her, but you
no,
like to.
I'm just saying,
right? I mean, that's the same.
Cosby's
I mean,
not. If this is all true,
yeah,
allegedly,
right.
He's not violent in the terms of a rapist.
It's illegal, and
it's not good.
Yeah, it's illegal.
I'm not going to sit here and
it's illegal.
It's
he's
like,
certainly opening himself up to civil litigation.
The drugging is a weird thing.
The drugging is a weird
that
thing.
Is a power
yeah.
thing.
Right.
That is weaselly, and then it sidesteps the need.
Well,
for
you know, CeeLo Green recently went through this, and he went on trial.
Yeah.
And I believe he had to plead guilty to a lesser charge to get out of it, but he basically did the same thing. Recently, where he was using Molly, I think it was, and in a Vegas hotel room,
now,
and his argument that this was a slut.
Is it?
But he, you
is
know,
the
it's,
thinking
it's,
that the, if he drug but, them, they won't specifically remember what was done.
Well, I think some of these drugs, yeah, I think there's certain sleeping pills. And, you know, Quaaludes they don't even make anymore because they got rid of them because people abuse them. If you've seen Wolf of Wall Street, there's a lot of stuff about Quaaludes in there, and they stop making them, and then they
Quaaludes
find...
Quaaludes are basically a muscle relaxer.
They find a bottle of lemons, and they have a big party, which mm-hmm. is a great scene. But, you know, what it is, though, is the thing is, like, once you introduce drugs, the women can't even consent at that point. So even if the woman, mm-hmm. even if the woman is back at your hotel room, and she's ready to fucking spread her legs, and she's ready to suck the cum out of your fucking nuts... And you slip her a Quaalude, now you've committed a crime to where you didn't need to do that. So my argument with Cosby, and again, Nuck, I know, and I know you weren't around, because I know you had quit the show for several months when I solved the David Carradine case. I famously solved the David Carradine case.
Yeah.
I went on a media tour. I did. It was this show and John Tenney's podcast. I went on a media tour describing that David Carradine was trying to have a hands-free orgasm. Which is why he hung himself. Okay.
Okay.
But my argument in the Cosby thing is that I think his fetish is something to do with knocked out women.
Yeah.
And I've seen
which
you
is
can,
a weird
you can,
thing.
You can go on YouPorn or one of these X Hamster or one of these sites and find passed out girl porn.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it is real passed out girls, and some of it is girls who are pretending to be passed out mm-hmm. for
There's
the sake
movie.
Of this photographer. And,
There's a movie with Emily Browning that's called Sleeping Beauty.
Okay.
Where a girl like pretends to be asleep.
Well, oh, okay.
And so
yeah. So I mean that is a thing, and that's kind of what I'm getting from this Cosby thing. And my feeling is yeah, if a girl is passed out and you have sex with her, I think that's rape. I think whether
yeah, well,
the law
obviously
and, yeah,
you know,
so,
it even if I don't know what the legal definition of rape is.
Right. Well,
but
yeah.
it's certainly not it's
I think the legal definition is sex without consent.
It is certainly,
and if you're passed out, there is no consent. So
yeah, it's certainly not kosher behavior. It's
no.
certainly not good, and it is just weird in a creepy way.
Yeah, and it is weird and it is creepy, and it's not just the defense. But what I'm saying is, and you didn't do this, but I see people doing this. The defense for Cosby isn't he's famous; women will just fuck him. That's not a defense for this.
Well,
it just isn't.
It makes it weird in
you're
that
right,
because
right.
all
just,
right, all right,
it just isn't.
Let's put it in these terms. All right.
Winona Ryder didn't need to shoplift, but she did. You know what I'm saying? That's not a...
If
yeah.
you go to a crack house
yeah.
and then you walk out with a rock of cocaine and the guy goes, oh, this was a sting,
yeah.
you can't be mad at the sting.
Well, yeah.
So, to a certain extent, I don't think Bill Cosby should be drugging anybody because what that makes it worse.
Well, no, but
you know
again, I think you're blaming the victim a little bit.
I'm not trying to blame the victim. What I'm
well,
saying
I
mean, is
are,
these women go up to his hotel room.
I understand that.
What do they think their point of
they,
going up to
They
the hotel
don't
room?
Think they're going to get drugged.
The drugging is where
exactly,
it
that's
makes
what
it
I'm
a
saying.
Problem. But I'm saying what if Cosby had just invited
but
them up to the hotel
mean?
Room and fucked them, they wouldn't
but,
have been.
But
he drugged them and then made
why
it.
That's
why
it's a crime.
It's crazy.
And
we're not disagreeing.
And his logic, if you want to get inside Cosby's head, which you'd have a good time in Cosby's head, but just for this purpose, he's probably going, what's the difference? They were going to get fucked anyway. I was going to, you know.
I know, but
what
he did was he took away what would have been just the act of consensual sex
yes.
or just
right.
whatever, and they would
sure.
have. And you know what? Maybe some years later, this woman would have been like, you know, I went up to the hotel room and I ended up fucking Cosby and I didn't feel good about it.
Sure.
But it wouldn't have been, I woke up and didn't know what happened.
Yeah.
That makes it a different thing.
You know, you can talk about great. You can talk about why women didn't come forward. I think that's all valid. I think that's all something you have to consider. If you're going to try to throw Cosby into the clink for raping women, I don't know that you can do that. Mm-hmm. But I think the guys lost pretty much at this point all of his good faith. I think that I think Hannibal Buress had a point when he attacked Cosby.
You know what? He was at a college campus this week, giving a speech, and he made jokes about it and been like, "Now I'm an evil man." And
what? A lot of these casinos and these venues that had booked Cosby have dropped him. NBC was going to develop a sitcom with Cosby, which they've dropped.
Hey, Bill, you're 77.
Netflix had a special that they were going to run that they're not going to run now.
You know, here's the other thing. Gene Hackman.
Yeah.
I just watched The Firm again the other day.
Okay.
Just out of the blue, I went,
sure.
I remember The Firm. That was a pretty good movie. Okay. And it was really good because Sidney Pollack directed it.
Great director.
Had a great cast. Even Tom Cruise couldn't bring it down.
Yeah. Genie Triplehorn.
A really high quality thriller.
Yeah.
Pretty good pulpy thriller, but fun.
Yeah.
Gene Hackman's in that movie and he's terrific. Okay. And Gene Hackman was always terrific. And Gene Hackman got to a certain age and said, "Well, I'm done."
Oh, Gene Hackman retired.
And we haven't heard one peep out of Gene Hackman. And he's been, you know what I mean? He made his last movie and said, "I'm gone.
George Harrison retired.
You go out gracefully. I mean, George Harrison only retired like a year or so before he died.
He retired.
But I mean, Gene Hackman retired.
Cosby wants
six,
to work.
6-7 years ago.
Carlin worked till he died. Joan Rivers worked till she died. You know, these people worked till they
But you know what? So. Carlin and Joan Rivers were relevant till they died.
Yeah, I guess so. Cosby, though, I will say, and as much as you're going to dump on Bill and the thing, and he's never funny in the movies, like Bill Cosby himself was one of the great comedy movies that I saw as a kid.
Oh, absolutely.
When you made a theatrical comedy film, stand-up movie, which very few people do. Kevin Hart did one recently.
Richard Pryor.
Gabriel Iglesias did one recently. And, of course, the Pryor and the Eddie Murphys.
Are you saying like a movie?
Everybody's a movie.
Everybody's a Netflix special.
Right. I'm talking about a movie. You went to the theater to see it.
There's very few of them.
Bill Cosby himself was that movie. It was great. And if you watch Bill Cosby himself today, there's a whole segment about drugs, about cocaine and marijuana and that.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't all kitty stuff. I mean, it was about, "Dad, can we have chocolate cake for breakfast?" and all that stuff. But it was still good. Still a great comedian. I can separate the two. Great comedian, scumbag as a human being.
It does make you really think about the Cosby legacy because I feel like it was never really the material we were laughing. I mean, okay, obviously there's some observations about your children and how they behave and stuff, were we laughing at the funny voices and the acting out of the bits?
I mean, I don't think you can look back and break it down and go all of these, you know, was there evil in the jokes and stuff? Because that's not how people operate.
I don't think there was evil in the jokes.
People separate their work from their personal lives every day.
Jesus Christ, not too long ago, we were playing the Cosby singing Sergeant Pepper's.
Yeah, we did. I'll play it again.
And
I'll
you know
play.
What?
I'll play it right now if you want
but
to
you know,
that.
Cosby's this weird thing where I knew he was bad.
And you put on Facebook the next day, "Oh, this is so great. I love this Cosby album."
But you know what? Like, that is the thing I really do actually literally take joy out of that.
Sure.
Not anymore. I'm not going to listen to that album, but...
Well...
I took joy out of it in that it was just silly and goofy.
Let's have one last listen then. Let's listen. Because, there's a lot to get to build. Go ahead and you can talk some more. Bill doesn't come in until about 30 seconds.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right. All that's good. It was 20 years ago today that Sergeant Pepper taught the band to play. And they've been going in and out of style, but they're guaranteed to raise a smile. So may I introduce to you the act you've known for all these years, Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Well, what I'm saying is, I think Cosby did a lot of it with delivery.
There's a shtick there. There's a shtick. I mean,
You know what I mean? He's a great, he was a masterful act out comic. And his act out and his bit was so funny and compelling but maybe there wasn't anything that, you know, whereas Richard Pryor and Bill Cosby, or I mean, George Carlin and those guys actually had real good material. I don't know.
I think Cosby's a great comic. You know, look, you know, you can have a fight with your wife and still go to a comedy show and be funny. And it's not everything is tied in it. You know, comedy is a job. It's all, look, you know, he can drug and rape three women and go on stage and talk about why you're not supposed to spank your kids or whatever his bits were going to be. And it wouldn't be any different.
The other thing is to expect artists to be decent people is a foolhardy gesture.
Sure, absolutely.
And I had a run-in with an associate of one of the few untarnished people that ran the family values flagpole.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like every children's entertainer was an asshole, a drunk. Yeah. Jimmy Savile was using his position to pick up kids.
Yeah.
Cosby now has a tainted record.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But I did, over the weekend, I did a gig in Grand Rapids, at the Grand Rapids Comedy. It was an after party for the Grand Rapids Comic-Con, which was a disaster because the venue and the organizers didn't understand each other, and they led to a big fight. But the Comic-Con itself, I'm just going to go off script for 1 second here and show you this.
Sure.
They got vendors, and then they've got celebrities. The Grand Rapids Comic-Con didn't have the most.
Didn't have the big celebrity.
Nichelle Nichols from Star Trek was like the Uhura.
That was the top name, yeah.
But this guy was just sitting. And you know what happens? You go, and these guys are just kind of sitting.
Yeah.
I remember seeing Frank Gorshin sitting by himself.
Yeah.
Looking bored.
Right.
Harlan Ellison getting a nacho. Okay. And these, you can go up and talk to these guys.
Sure, yeah.
Well, this was the guy that was there. That's right.
Don't even really know who that is. So
you don't remember this?
Can you tell people on the air, and then it would help
me
as well?
The guy's name was David Noman.
Yeah,
and he played Mr. McFeely.
Well,
on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
You know, listen, I watch Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Okay. Yeah.
I also shit in my pants about the same time. Well, I was a tiny child.
You were kids.
Yeah, but that means nothing. I don't know who that is at all.
You only watched Mr. Rogers
in your first five years. So even, like, I know who Mr. Rogers is. Other than that, I don't know. But that's cool. That's cool. I'm going to top that right now.
Mr. McFeely,
Mr.
McFeely was the postman.
Okay, no, I see he's in a... Yeah.
He was on most...
How old is he now?
God, he could be...
Because he looks about 57 in that photo.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't look young.
And he's 99 now,
this is a photo from, like, 1981.
Right, so that's what I'm saying.
But anyway, lovely guy, had fun stories. George Romero worked on the show.
Okay.
Because it was in Pittsburgh where they did Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
And I knew this, and I talked to him about it. Michael Keaton worked on Mr. Rogers for, like, 4 years before he got famous. And he was telling me stories about how David was, you know, he's like, he was kind of like the guy in Night Shift.
Yeah.
And we had a long talk about Breaking Bad. Okay. Here's a guy from, like, the most gentle PBS kid show in the history of the world telling me how great the show about the meth dealer.
Yeah. Well,
anyway, super nice guy. And Mr. Rogers, by the way, is the one children's entertainer with a clean record.
Unsullied.
You know what I mean? No one's ever going to say,
well, you know,
Fred Rogers, roofied my drink.
Captain Kangaroo had all those bisexual orgies. So,
well,
you know, that guy was a real...
I read he was kind of an asshole. Actually.
Well, I mean, but everyone's an asshole. I mean, let's be honest.
All right.
I'm going to top that when it comes to nostalgia, Corey, with I met this weekend. And that was four of the five kids from A Christmas Story.
Oh, God.
There you go. Come on. Bow down to that.
Wow.
Now, no Peter Billingsley takes it down a notch, but I did meet Scott Farkas, who was, I forget all the character names, but of course the famous big bully in that movie, and his little toady, that guy was there too, which is amazing because they still have that same height relationship. Like the little toady guy still a whole head taller than Scotty Farkas. And then there was the little brother. You know, I forget Ralphie's little brother. What was his name?
You know,
you're not a big Christmas Story guy.
It's not like I've ever watched it habitually.
I watch it every year at least one time. And I saw Christmas Story in the theater, and that's what I went up when I saw Scotty Schwartz, who was Flick, who stuck his tongue on the pole. I went right up, and Scotty, of course, famously did The Toy with Richard Pryor. And Jackie Gleason, he was the kid in that.
That movie.
When I saw Scotty Schwartz, I went like...
You want to watch a fucking movie that makes you feel weird.
Oh no, no, the toy.
Yeah.
But I think the toy's great. I mean, I think it's a product of its time. I think it. I don't think you can make that now.
I wouldn't say it's great, but it's interesting.
It's kind of
fun to watch Jackie Gleason and Richard Pryor work together.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But he's a rich kid.
Yeah.
Who.
Bob buys a black guy.
Richard Pryor's an out-of-work reporter.
Yeah.
And he's like...
He's the janitor of the toy store.
Well, yeah, he gets...
Eventually.
He was a journalist who gets fired
and
then works in the toy store. And the kid goes, I want him.
Yeah.
Take him home.
I want you to be my toy.
This is in 1983.
Yeah, right. So that was Scotty Schwartz. And, of course, Scotty, you know, first thing with Scotty Schwartz when you see him is, you know, he's about 5 foot tall. So he's one of those child stars that was kind of maybe even played younger than his age at the time because he was kind of shrimpy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like real chubby, too. And, you know, he had this thing where, like, I think his parents took it. There was like a true Hollywood story about Scotty Schwartz, and he ended up in porn and all this stuff and, you know, kind of had this disgraced lifestyle. But I got to chop it up with Scotty for a few minutes, and those guys are real cool. So I got to meet them at the TV station.
And so they're doing like a tour?
Yeah, they were at the Redford Theater screening the movie and signing. Because
they were all over the place.
Yeah, apparently when those guys, and I don't know, I guess it's the Redford Theater doesn't pay them up front or whatever. So, like, you got to pay to get your signatures with those. You get your picture taken with them and you pay.
Mr. McFeely was charging $10.
Oh, did he
comp
you one?
But he comped me one.
Oh, well,
because I talked to him for like 20 minutes.
Oh, okay.
And he was like, you know, for you, here we go. And it was seriously, I didn't ask him for it or anything.
So basically, Mr. McFeely had to pay for lunch out of his own pocket because you wouldn't skin him 20.
No, I didn't even ask him for it. I just went up and...
No, I know how that is. Guys will be your buddy and hang out with you.
I walked up and I said, I went up and said, hey, I watched Mr. Rogers and thanks for you guys.
Because
Mr. Rogers was a show that's boring and kind of square. But as a kid, I enjoyed that was a nice thing.
All right.
And I have nice memories of it.
Cool. Mr. McKinley.
Anyway.
And the Christmas Story cast. All in one. Yeah. Who would have thought?
There you go.
What nostalgia all brought back. So
Christmas Story is a decent movie. It's just not one I ever like.
Yeah.
When they do the 24 hours of Christmas Story.
Yeah. You're not a
fan.
I'm
not going to watch it over and over.
Well, just see, I know that movie so well, I can just turn it on in the middle and watch it for 20 minutes and enjoy it and then turn it. You know what I mean? So,
well, that's how I feel
about...
It's
not like I have to sit down and watch it all the way through.
That's how I feel about Stripes or something.
But it's, I mean, it is one of those movies, and it's too bad they don't make movies like this anymore where every scene is good. You know what I mean? Like, how many movies have you thought about? Like, that's what makes a movie great.
Animal House.
I mean, like, it's so few movies where every scene is great. It's like because the directors are too attached to the material or whatever that they can't cut, or the actors get final cut and they don't want to give up scenes.
I just think the scripts aren't as good.
The scripts aren't as good. Yeah, but I mean, it's just like, you know, because I saw a movie, and I guess this doesn't come out till January, but I actually saw a movie where I thought every scene was funny. And I know you're going to dump on me, and maybe this movie will be a bomb and I'll look like an idiot and it will get savaged by critics. But The Wedding Ringer with Kevin Hart and Josh Gad was pretty much funny in every scene, and I didn't expect it to be. That comes out in January. I saw an early screening of that.
I'm not above...
Give you a full review when it comes out.
I'm not a particular fan of Kevin Hart.
No.
Because I find a lot of his stuff is just... Hey! He does a squeaky high voice.
Sure.
And I understand that that's being shitty to go... Because most of comedy...
Right.
He's just saying something funny.
Well, it is, but this movie, it reminded me of his performance, and reminded me of like a classic Eddie Murphy performance.
You know what's the old bit where they're like, a comic says funny things,
yeah,
a comedian says things funny,
yeah, yeah,
and that's kind of what Kevin Hart does. It's all
He's a comic and not a comedian.
I'm not gonna.
You haven't seen this movie, and he's good. He's actually good in this movie. I mean, this movie is sort of a It's sort of it's Wedding Crashers meets The Hangover meets some chick flick about getting married, because, you know, Josh Gad doesn't have a best man for his wedding, and he makes up that he has a best friend, and then he ends up hiring him to be his best man.
That's not
at the wedding.
Terribly dissimilar from the plot of I Love You, Man. Yeah, was that?
I Love You, Man.
Love You, Man.
Where they wanted,
Paul Rudd didn't really have a friend.
Paul Rudd, he hired Jason Segel to be his best friend. And it's you know, that was a good movie, too. But I really think that this movie is funny in every scene. So that's good. Anyway, let's talk about some other stuff. Speaking of comedy, Last comic standing. Now, I'm just going to read this because you know what? I say this, and Corey was like, did you hear the news about Last Comic Standing? And I go, this is every season of Last Comic Standing.
Yeah, how many seasons is it?
They've done 8. Wow. So this is number 9 that is on hold right now, number 9. So Corey, Corey's all excited, like, so Last Comic Standing is canceled for next season. And I read this article, and while that is essentially what the article says, it says
they're retooling it.
Last Comic Standing 9 on hold to return to NBC for summer 2015, unknown is... That's a terrible headline. As show format, basically what they've said is they've gotten to a certain point with the pre-production of Last Comic Standing, and maybe they've even done production where they've had the audition round,
mm-hmm.
or they've went out and found people. And basically, NBC said we're going to put a hold on production, basically because they don't know. Now, see, they just talked to the producer of Last Comic Standing.
Is this the same production team that did last season?
Yes, this is a guy named Paige Hurwitz. Or is that a girl? I don't know. Paige Hurwitz and Wanda Sykes brought it back in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Roseanne Barr, Keenan Ivory Wayans, and Russell Peters, the judges, all wanted to return too. Producers and casting agents had their list of contestants narrowed down to 200, and they were scheduled to convene in California. But that is not going to happen now. But basically what this means is when they decide they want Last Comic Standing, mm-hmm. that's when they're going to have to just put it back into production. And Last Comic Standing at this point has been canceled and brought back so many goddamn times.
Well, it's had...
And retooled and changed producers and changed hosts and changed
judges. Yeah, I think the original...
And changed formats.
The original version
just...
was Jay Moore was like the host and producer.
I think he was the producer. And then they went through Anthony Clark.
Anthony Clark.
Bill
did
Bellamy
it.
Did
Bill
it for Bellamy. A while. And so it's
one
been...
season, the guy from The Office, Daryl...
Oh, okay.
Was his name? Daryl...
Daryl Hammond, that black guy. From The Office.
No, Daryl Hammond, the guy from SNL. What's
yeah,
his
and
name?
He's also played, he played the black guy on The Office.
Oh, I know. Is that his name? No, what is his
I'm
name?
I'm making jokes. Okay, I'm making jokes that Daryl Hammond,
is the
because he could
name.
Do impression, oh. impressions, was playing
I
the
guess.
Guy.
Craig Robinson.
Craig Robinson.
Craig Robinson was the
God forbid one. I don't make a Jets joke.
I get you. Okay.
Right.
I was confused.
I forgot the Chrissy. I forgot about the Craig Robinson.
There was a
year.
Craig Robinson
Gone.
Season.
Wiped out of my brain.
And then the judges were one year it was Andy Kindler, Natasha Leggero, and Greg Giraldo.
Yeah.
And Greg Giraldo was uncomfortable doing the hosting.
Yeah.
Or
it
the
was,
judging.
Yeah.
So there've been a lot of form.
It's
oh,
been a lot of. So,
when
yeah.
it started, it was the guys from the Tonight Show, and they were lame.
Ross and Mark Ross and Rice Ross Marks.
Yeah, so
it was they were named Ross Marks and Mark Ross, right? That's what they were named.
It was that show's had a lot of formats, a lot of different.
Yeah.
It started out it was a house where the comics.
That's what
lived.
I mean. Here's what it is. Here's what Last Comic Standing mm-hmm. is. NBC takes comedians, makes a show, and calls it Last Comic Standing.
Yeah.
There's really nothing to it. I mean, granted, they all have a winner and they have a big fucking tour.
Right.
I mean, this guy named Rodman won this year. Who I don't. I'll go on record as saying I didn't think the guy was really all that funny. And
I will say that I have seen. I have worked with.
Yeah.
Various different road club comics.
Yeah.
That would blow Rodman
sure,
out.
Absolutely.
I mean, like he was sure. pretty run of the mill.
Yeah.
And he won, and you know, whatever.
Yeah, and there's plenty of guys who have lost that. You know, there's you know, Amy Schumer didn't make it.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
She was a finalist who got bumped in like the second week of the show. So you know what I mean? You never know with that. So I don't know. I've been a huge critic of Last Comic Standing. I feel like it makes people, I don't think it's good for comedy in the sense that it makes comedians look desperate. It doesn't present comedians as stars. It presents comedians as wannabes. And the guys, and you know what, if you're getting real wannabes, if you're getting real amateurs at doing it, I think that's an okay format for a show. But when you're getting professional comedians
right.
who are in the top 1% of the people that even ever attempt that job, you know what I'm saying? When you get a Rocky Laporte... Okay, Rocky Laporte's not Seinfeld. Rocky Laporte, Jimmy Schubert,
and
they're not. Okay, they're not Seinfeld. They're not Norm MacDonald. They're not the tippity top of guys who are selling out arenas.
No,
they're
but
not
they're
Jim Gaffigan. But they're
top
working
5%.
Guys. But that's what I'm saying. Sure. They're top guys in the business. Yeah, sure. You know, they're not Larry the Cable Guy. No, they're none of that following. No. But
of
they're hilarious. And so, but I'm just saying.
Okay, there's like just locally.
But don't
just we have a Michigan Comedy Network, and there's like 1,300 people in it.
Yeah.
Does it? You think that reflects the number of working comedians in Michigan?
No,
not at
no,
all.
But some, yeah, I mean, you
that's
can,
just every guy who went up and did.
What
an
I'm
open
saying
mic.
Is, if you go, if you take a professional comedians, guys who are getting it's like taking professional actors and making them go to acting class or something. It's like these guys are, you know, well, it doesn't make sense. They're not
most,
stars, but if you present them as stars, you will make them stars.
I think this
I'm done with Last Comic Standing.
This dovetails, though, into the point.
Do that, please. Let's get off of Last Comic Standing because it makes me want to puke. And I say it makes me want to puke even though I know my friends like Dave Landauer was on that show this year. Well, and I know my friend John Heffron, who won, I believe, season two or season three
yes.
of it, who I just hung out with
and
all
that
weekend.
And helped his career for a while.
And it helped his career. And John, you know, John had come a long way from that show. And it was good for him. But you know what? It's not worth it when you humiliate guys like Jimmy Pardo
right.
that they've done on that show when they fucking made him look bad. Like he's standing in the wings all crestfallen because they wouldn't give him an envelope. Fuck you. Fuck you, fuckers.
Well,
you dicks.
Okay.
Who the fuck do you think you are?
They changed the
making these guys look like they're
they changed
a bunch
the
of
format.
Losers.
I know.
Well, I know they've dialed that back somewhat.
Well,
in
but,
the more recent seasons,
but they changed the they changed the format.
Yeah.
And the format was instead of having your delusional lunatics like the Bat Out of Hell and
yeah,
the
right, yeah,
Hortense
know,
the Hand Puppet of Low Self Esteem.
Right.
Instead of having all the freaks and the guys in the monkey mask.
And that's fine.
That used to be the format, and they'd have people come out, and they'd be terrible, and they'd get booed
right.
off
well,
stage.
There was,
they got rid of that.
There was the charade that the pros had to audition with the lunatics. And they got rid of that charade.
Right.
But there is still this charade.
So this was all
and
guys.
And the way that they're parading these guys around. Like, oh, we're not funny enough.
Right.
To
but,
be,
but this last
know.
Season, it was all guys that had managers or whatever.
I but it's always been like that, and they just dropped the facade that wasn't the case. I'm done with it. I'm
okay,
out. I'm
but,
out.
But
I'm out.
Your
I'm
point,
out.
Okay, but your
okay,
point.
I know I'm getting
I'm just going to finish one
Please
thing.
Read the EWR.
But your point is correct in that a guy like Rocky Laporte, who's been doing it for 25 years, was put on the same level
right.
with a girl from New York who's been doing it for 18
and,
months.
And it's just like, don't show
and
her.
That, it just...
Don't show Rocky good. Laporte changing his grandkids' diapers.
Yeah, and Jimmy was the first guy out who's been
who
would blow everybody out.
But he's Rocky Laporte's a star. Show
yeah,
the
yeah,
guy
yeah.
getting ready to go on stage and be funny. All if you right. want to show some backstage stuff of him,
comedy.
You know, I don't want to do a bad Rocky Laporte, but have some guy in himself. Mom, hey mom. Hey, mom. Yeah, they're gonna put me through to the next round on last. What the fuck is that? What the fuck is that? You think the NFL, you think they show the guy coming out?
You're so mad
You think
about
they
this.
Show the guy? But that's why these
oh,
guys are stars.
Yeah.
That's why they're famous guys. Because they don't show them. They don't show them backstage. They don't show the guy. They don't show you Brad Pitt before the movie backstage putting his makeup on, trying to memorize his lines.
But okay,
they
this,
don't show you that for a reason.
This is a trend, and we'll get off LCS. This is a trend, and I feel bad for our friends who like Dave Waite, who got 30 seconds on the show, who's a funny comic, or AJ Finney, who got no
right.
time, who's a good guy.
Yeah.
Look, but I think LCS kind of underscores what a big problem with reality is and why people are leaving it.
Why are people
EW's got a big article about how even Bravo is considering doing scripted
reality. Oh, well, television. That's it. It's a everybody kill yourself. Bravo's out of reality.
Well,
we're done.
E,
the universe is
E
ending.
Is creating a sitcom, a soap opera.
Oh, well.
So what they're saying
go.
Is people are tired of this shit.
Well,
and they're
going
to go back to scripted soap operas.
Well, the problem is, and I've talked about this in relation to paranormal shows
yes.
with our friend John Tenney, whose reality show just ended its run, Ghost Stalkers. We hope you all watched and got behind Ghost
Stalkers. I mean,
Stalkers.
They had a 6-episode.
We had John
season,
on, and
they're waiting.
We watched and went to the premiere and all that. But here's the thing. The problem with reality is that it's so it ends up being, you know, there is a point when they intersect. Reality and scripted become the same thing.
Yeah, sure.
And so at what point do you have, you know, why not just do a completely scripted show? You're going to do The Housewives and it's not real anyway. I mean, the names here. Here's the difference between a reality show and the fiction show.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. In the reality show, if we did a reality show, you would be Corey, I would be Joel. If we did a fiction show, you would be Fred and I would be Murray. And well, that would be, and you could do the same, but I'm saying you could do the scripted.
This reminds me of.
We could do.
Of, you just watched all those Abbott and Costello movies. It reminds me of how they had different names.
Right, they would give one. Yeah, exactly.
Their characters, by the way, in every single movie, they played the exact identical guys.
Well, they
guys.
Actually don't, but in 20, yeah, in 85%, they're the basically.
Okay, but your perception, okay, to the average person, to tell the difference between
I know what you mean.
Character of Chick Hurdlefell
and Slicker Smith.
Bud Abbott. Completely...
And then in some movies, they actually play Bud and Lou, but they're not Bud Abbott and Lou Costello.
They're Bud Henderson.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're just like,
I mean, the point is, like, you know, if you want to make a show up about a bunch of bitchy housewives that are fighting with each other, you can just get some actresses and do that. And you know what, the audience... Here's what people think. This is the myth of reality. I'm going to blow it out of the water right here. This is it. The biggest moment in the history of this show, Corey. They think people care. They think people care that that's real. And the answer is people don't care if that's real.
Well, people didn't care when wrestling
They don't
was
care. Well, that's what I mean. Why do you think wrestling still exists?
The kayfabe of wrestling.
There was a thing in the 80s where all the people like Vince McMahon and these guys would get all upset when they would be exposing wrestling for being phony.
Yeah.
And they realized people don't care that it's fake. And a lot of this,
and wrestling got even bigger when they embraced that it was not real.
And that's a lot of my attitude towards Last Comic Standing is that, you know, in wrestling, in order to make somebody a star in wrestling, you have to present them as a star. And it's the same thing with comedy. You present them as stars, they become stars.
They presented him from the get-go as he was a big star.
Sure.
And he had about a 4-year career based on that.
But you know what? He was Roddy Piper's jobber in one angle. Roddy Piper, when he came in, said, "I'll take on any guy in the back." Do you remember this angle? Roddy Piper comes to WCW. "I'm going to take on any guy in the back. Send who back who you got." And they sent all these like power plant trainee guys out there. And they sent out this big jacked up guy, and it was Goldberg. And Piper beat him up and sent him back.
Yeah.
But that was before he made his debut. And then when they made his debut, he just fucking beat the shit out of everybody. He became the Ultimate Warrior. Same deal.
Right.
He made these guys huge stars.
But they pushed him on top.
But going back to reality, they act, you know, that is the fallacy, and I think there are TV people that are smart enough that know that these ghost shows. Okay, if you go watch Paranormal Activity, you go pay your money or you rent the DVD, whatever you do, okay, and you watch Ghost Fuckers on Sci-Fi or something. Okay,
it's my favorite.
It's a good show. What's on Playboy? Ghost Fuckers.
I enjoy Spectre Wreckers.
No, that's fine, and that's a good
show
too.
Show.
And I have no. And spirit smugglers.
I like Haunt Hunters. That's a good one.
I watched Ghost Coasters the other night.
It was
fantastic.
Ghost Coasters.
But the point.
So good.
But I'm saying, what's the difference between Paranormal Activity and that?
There's not much.
There's no difference.
Well,
it's the same thing.
All right, one.
They're the exact same. First of all, paranormal shit isn't real. That's number one. So two, you make it up. Now, there's different ways and certain degrees by which you make it up, but the audience just wants to believe that story, whatever it is.
Right.
They don't care. You know, people don't want... I mean,
well, Joel, they made up the Bible, too, and that doesn't stop anybody from going to church.
There you go.
And putting money in the collection.
There you go. Look, we can go all the way back to that.
But, you know, I think... Now, this is like EW says that, I mean, the bloom is off the rose. Well, one, it's oversaturated.
Yeah, sure.
There's too many channels.
Yeah, everyone's got a show.
By the way, everybody's cable package is $150 a month for no good reason, because I got to have fucking 42 channels. I don't care.
Well, you know, I've read articles that's a fallacy about cable. The reason cable is $145
ESPN.
A month is because ESPN, with nothing, ESPN is $30 a month or some ridiculous number like that.
They're themselves.
And like CNN and TBS and all those.
The rates
like
of
those,
the top channels.
The top channels charge a rate.
But
you might be paying a dollar a channel for,
I'll tell you what,
you know.
If we went back to the 90s.
And you're also, it's not just the channels that you're paying for. Of course, you're paying Comcast, their nut, to bring it to you. So, you know, your programming may only be, you know what I'm saying? If there was truth in your cable bill, they would go, okay, we're running a cable to your house. That's $50. Mm. The cable to your house is $50. Nothing's on that. It's just the cable. That's sort of what internet is, isn't it? Internet is just the cable to your house, and everything else is free. So, you know,
well,
and then
even,
you
even
pay
those,
for it.
Even those rates, by the way, with the maturity of the networks,
well,
seem to be sort of.
But you know what? You know, okay, I'll let you read the reality things. I don't even want to read it. But here's the thing. Here's with the cable companies, and this is a big. I'm on fire tonight. We got to do the show late at night from now on.
You're all.
I think
riled
this is
up.
My brain is the most active. Here's the thing.
You're riled up.
Here's the thing. You want to cut the cord, Corey? You
yes,
want
sir.
Your Netflix? You want your Hulu Plus? Mm-hmm. You want your Amazon Instant Streaming? Here's the fucking thing. Oh, I want to pay $40 a month. Guess what? Fuck you. Guess what your internet's going to cost? Guess what it's going to cost? This is great. It's going to be the same fucking price as your TV.
Why are you so wild?
It's going to be the same price.
You're a madman.
Everybody, you haven't beat the system. The system will beat you every time.
Which is
it's going to beat you.
Which is why this whole arguing over net neutrality is an important thing. Because
it's all a fucking game. That's what it is.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
You got to calm down.
I don't know.
Look.
All right, thank you.
All right. But the bloom is off the rose on the reality situation.
It is. No,
because,
go ahead, read the article.
Because it's
give us some examples of what's no longer
right,
on
here's
the
here's shows
air.
That don't yes. exist. Hillbilly hand fishing.
Oh, God. Corey, I had a violin set up just to play the.
Now, I did have a line in my act about hillbilly hand fishing, which I'll have to take out.
Sure.
But it was an entertaining line.
Sure.
But I whatever, I'll write a new joke.
Kathleen Madigan does a whole bit about hillbilly hand fishing. I don't think she's dropping that.
I had one line.
Right.
I said,
I know. It's not
hillbilly
the same,
hand fishing's a
it's
real
not
show.
The same bit. It's not
and
the
it's whatever.
Fun.
But it, and you know what? It's a line that I only do at one club.
Right, exactly.
But let's see. Pit Boss.
Sure.
The Royals. The Rachel Zoe Project.
All gone.
Ice Loves Coco.
Sure.
Bridezillas.
Absolutely.
Out of here.
Goodbye.
Now, I can't believe the show in which Ice-T and his absurdly cartoon appendage bloated.
His giant ass wife.
His Jessica Rabbit ass. Her titties are, you know.
She is ridiculous.
The ass is so ludicrous, it takes the shine off the titties,
right.
Which are already mythical proportions.
Right. Read me some more names. I like this. This is a good bit.
Some more names of.
Read me some good bits. I got some.
It's really,
I found some sad music. Go ahead. Give us the funeral for reality.
They part. Say DC Cupcakes was the show that pushed it over the edge.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, thank you. This isn't really just a list.
Maybe
of,
this isn't great music.
No,
for this.
I know. It's not really a list of canceled. It's really more about how networks like E! And Bravo are now realizing they have to go into scripted drama. Or to try and make better programming because this.
Well,
because
they're not drawing the ratings they used to.
Well, Honey Boo Boo's gone because that due to a fucking obscene sex scandal.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, there is zero appeal in watching hillbillies fight. If I want to do that, I'll go to my job as a comic and see hillbillies fight when I go drive into a gig. I mean, I can see that all the time. The gig I did on Saturday night, there were literally guys discussing guns. Not, should we have guns? What's gun safety? What's with the gun culture? That new Heckler and Koch has got the bored barrel is better. It's got a machine bored barrel, and it's got more kick than the 9mm when you go up to 7. You know, it's like they were literally talking about gun specifics and like, you know, and I heard they shortened the stock. It's fucking ridiculous.
All right.
I don't want to watch anybody from Louisiana do anything.
Is that, but I mean, are they, what, give me more, any more examples in there? Is that?
The
general trend is down on reality. Scripted is up. Well, doesn't everybody want to be The Walking Dead and Game of Thrones and Breaking Bad
and
all
this
stuff?
And the prestige of AMC.
Sure. Orange is the New Black.
You know, AMC was a network that was showing like. You know, Sister Act in the middle of the afternoon.
Okay. AMC's still showing Sister Act in the middle of the afternoon.
But that's basically what they
were
doing.
On Sunday night, they show Walking Dead. And then
then they got Mad Men and Walking Dead and Breaking Bad, and they became considered the top flight scripted drama series. So, you know, Bravo announced its intention to move into scripted programming in 2011. We'll finally enter the fray with The Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce. starring Liesl Edelstein from House. Now, it doesn't mean that those shows are going to last either.
No, but it's...
What it's gotten so bad and oversaturated that even the lower production costs of reality shows aren't generating profits, and that they feel that there's a cap to what they can really
do.
Well,
I think what they're realizing is that it's that there is that hook of the narrative that has a cliffhanger and is a serial in nature that gets people to come back.
Right.
Whereas maybe, you know, you watch a Cake Boss.
Yeah.
And you're done, and you watch your Cake Boss and you go on with your day and you don't care about the next Cake Boss.
No,
you don't care about
to...
there's not that I mean, and I know there are storylines on Cake Boss. I know there are, but it's not as important to watch every 19 kids and counting in a row. In a binge,
the drama
and
on
drop money on that
the
stuff.
The drama on Cake Boss is: am I going to get this cake to the
right?
To the
but
wedding
that's what I mean.
Parlor
like, you know,
on time,
guys,
and it's only incidental, minor, daily drama.
Sure.
When you do a scripted drama show like Breaking Bad, it's like, holy shit, he just shot the drug kingpin's brother. And, what's going to happen?
Right,
next?
And they think that's more compelling. But I also in this, I do want to say, as much as I have my theories and you have your theories. And Entertainment Weekly has their theories. The other thing you have to remember is that there is a herd mentality in television.
Sure.
Once one channel jumps on something, everybody else jumps on it. And when one channel jumps out of something, everyone jumps out of it. So you're not going to see, you know, one ghost show go away. You're going to see all the ghost shows go away. You're going to see all of – okay. Corey, this is what I want to watch right now. God damn it. Why can't I watch guys building motorcycles? It was on 27 channels all day long. Now if I want to watch a guy build a motorcycle, I got to tune away.
Sure.
You know, let's watch some poker, Corey. Oh. You want to watch some poker?
Oh.
You can still see poker.
Poker was everywhere.
You can still see
poker.
But it's not as much as it used to be.
No, there
so
was
it's
celebrity poker.
It's cyclical.
With,
there's like that's like not just a sick cycle, but it's not just a natural cycle. It is a deliberate we're going to get rid of this and go into this. And then everyone says, I want to, the followers follow and the leaders lead. So Netflix leads, HBO follows. When HBO leads, Showtime follows. When Showtime leads, AMC follows.
I'll tell you, the follower of all followers is True TV.
Oh, absolutely.
They are, like, whatever genre of reality TV you want to see.
Yeah.
They are the god.
They got a knockoff of everything.
They are the scum punk gutter basement cum guzzlers of all television cable. Like they're the worst of anything. They're when Storage Wars got popular.
Sure, yeah.
Storage Wars, by the way, which is a carnival of human misery dressed up with sound effects. I mean, for every
Corey's
locker.
Corey's favorite show for a long time.
I watched the shit out of Storage Wars.
But just throwing that in there as a thing.
You know what? And I'll still watch Storage Wars, and I'll hate myself for it.
Sure, yeah.
But the show, it's like literally every time they open a locker door, you go, there's someone who died, lost their job, got sick. Like, you know what I mean? It's a carnival of human misery.
Yeah.
And then these fucking Daryl and his dumb son, Brandon, come in there and go, man, that's a $30 bill,
Brandon. But you also go, here's a bunch of shit that people decided wasn't worth paying to keep, and then one item that the producer left in there for them to make a show
well,
out of.
Well, yes.
That's the other
there
thing.
Is 25 banker boxes full of porn and a Tiffany lamp.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
No,
right.
I know. But,
right.
You know.
It's 20 years of Sears catalogs and a Fabergé egg.
Yeah.
Oh, who fucking has that collection in their house?
It's incredible.
Right. I mean, what is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's move on here.
Good riddance to this reality shit.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. Get out
Who
of
needs
here.
All this Cake Boss?
Go away.
And cupcake.
Go away.
And you know, back to what I was going to say about LCS and what your point is, and you're right, and make them look like schmucks.
Yeah.
That happens on all reality shows.
That's true.
And it well, that, okay.
But the difference is comics aren't the Kardashians.
Right.
You know, they're not Tori and Dean. They're actual professional.
It's not just on the comics, it's been creeping into all aspects of. Okay, if you like cooking shows,
yeah.
Once upon a time, the Food Network was guys cooking stuff, and you know, it'd be like the Frugal Gourmet.
Sure, yeah.
And it'd be Molto Mario.
It was really good cooks.
It was really good chefs doing instructional.
Yeah.
And then sometimes, like Emerald, they'd have a band and they'd goof around and stuff. Yeah. But Emerald always showed you how to make something.
Yeah.
And it was all instructional cooking. Mm-hmm. Then it started, and then they got Iron Chef. And Iron Chef was a crazy Japanese show that was funny because it was Japanese and weird. Yeah. But those were like high end cooks doing insane stuff. Now it's, we're going to make you cook while harp seals bounce balls and cook with one arm behind your back and they fuck you up. And it's all like a stunt thing, like make me, what was the beat the clock? It's all stunt stuff.
All, yeah,
and you know what? I don't want to watch great chefs. Yeah, right, they're makes, okay, we're going to give you, we're going to give you mint jelly, salmon and bacon bits. And graham crackers. Now make something good out of that.
It's sort of like
it's never going
to
be good.
It's like if they took this old house and said, "You guys got an hour to build us a house."
Right.
And they'd be like, "Well, what the fuck am I?" You know, Norm would be like, "I don't, what am I going to do with it?" You know,
no staple guns.
Yeah, exactly.
But go make a house.
Yeah, go make a house.
You know, no nail guns. We're just like, why do I want to watch people who are good at shit fuck it up?
Yeah.
And that's what they do. These contests are all about
celebrities cooking,
making people
and all that
pratfall.
Stuff,
that stupid white wipeout.
Well, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
American. Sure. Okay, Ninja Warrior.
Yeah,
and or American Gladiator or whatever was people competing.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'd fail. Sometimes they were very good.
All right.
And you and if a guy won the obstacle course, it'd be exciting. Wipeout. No one can do the obstacle course.
Yeah, it's
it
pretty
is
much
physically
impossible. Yeah.
And the object is for you to fall on your ass in the water.
And the fatter you are, the funnier it is to watch you fall off the big ball.
And that's the fucking problem.
Yeah.
And that Master Chef.
Well, there's more.
Master Chef Junior.
That guy. That that
Master Chef Junior. I'm sorry, your kids might be able to. Your kids might do wonderful things in the kitchen and impress me and cook. They're not a master of fucking anything.
Yeah.
No child is by nature a master.
Yeah.
Stop with that bullshit. Make watch comics that are funny do funny comedy.
Yeah.
Watch chefs that are good cook
again,
great meals.
I've said this. If you want to put comedians on TV, just put them on TV.
Right.
You don't have to make them jump through hoops.
No, they do.
And you know what? And there is this show Laughs that's on Fox now. It's on late night. It's only A lot of our friends have done it. I helped out with the Detroit shooting. It was at the Comedy Castle in Royal Oak, and I was actually the guy backstage keeping time.
You should probably not use the words Detroit shooting.
No, it wasn't. It was
the Detroit taping.
Taping, yes.
Thank you.
So I was there, and I helped out with that a little bit. Steve Hofstetter's the guy who put it all together, and Steve's a good guy. And he's trying to put a show together, but even that is they're cutting the comics.
And Steve's got a club in Indiana that
somewhere
he owns.
Somewhere,
you know.
Louisville. But it's it's one of those things where they give the guys it's jokes more than it is sets. That's sort of the theory of that is that it's bite-sized jokes rather than again, I don't really know that they're presenting comedians as stars in the way that I would like them to either. But, you know, it's better. It's at least they take that greasy, grimy, sort of awful pandering to the audience, voting off element out of
yeah.
it. I don't think it works. So anyway, let's move on. A couple quick things. Now, me and Corey do this. We have an agenda that we keep online that we can write each other notes about what happened. And we have a category called Dead, and I don't have a lot to say about these guys, but let's at least acknowledge them because I liked them. But Tom Magliozzi from Car Talk on NPR, he was
– yeah.
I forgot if he was click or clack, but he certainly had a great –
Which Tappet brother was
I forget which Tappet it was, but Tom was one of really a great show about – you know, almost everything I know about cars, and I'm not saying I know a lot about cars – but I know more than the average citizen about cars.
Yeah,
I think comes from watching and listening to those guys.
Well,
and reading their books. I read they had a great book about your car. It was all questions like from the show, and it was in a book form, and it was great. I learned so much about my car.
What I loved about that show, was they'd be like, every caller would be like, click and clack. I got a 1987 Mercur.
Yeah.
That's got 178,000 miles on it, and it makes a sound.
Yeah, right.
Of course it makes a sound.
Yeah.
It's a 1987 Mercury.
But they would go,
people would go,
can you make the sound for us? And the guy would go, wada, 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 wada. You know, it was just
now, what's happening is you're getting vapor lock in the third chamber of the. You know, they would do that shit.
But
they
would
do shit all the time where guys would be like, well, what's happening is the solenoid is disconnected and it's not properly firing. Like, they do shit like that, and they were pretty impressive with the
things. They were good with that. I mean, that was a thing where the show was informative and entertaining. And not one at the expense of the other. It was a very good show, and it's too bad that that's gone.
I listened to Car Talk on many, many rides to comedy, to driving to shitty gigs.
Sure, yeah.
Because there was always an NPR station somewhere.
Yeah. And it was Saturday, right? Saturday afternoon.
Usually on Saturday afternoon, which is a good time to be on the road. And I will miss their stupid pun things at the end with the... our morale officer is Hugh DeMann. Play relationships is Erasmus Me Dragon.
Yeah.
No, whatever. The, you know.
Or they, and the other thing is, like, one brother would give the answer and the guy would go, like, go, ooh. You ever remember that? They would do, like, ooh. What? He goes, what if it's the alternator belt? Ooh. The alternator. You know, it was just stuff like that. It was very good. And, you know, there's.
That made me sad to read. That was a celebrity.
Yeah, that was a guy. He was an old guy.
That
too.
I was bummed out. But,
And there's guys now.
When Garrison Keillor dies, I'll throw a party. When that happens, when Lake Wobegon sinks into the fucking earth, that show, there's somebody put up a really funny story on like one, like an Onion thing about what they thought, what they knew. Here are the facts we know about Prairie Home Companion. Yeah. It appears to be a 4-hour show. It never ends. It's, you know, that show I get no entertainment value out of, and it clogs up the radio.
The other guy who died, who I know Corey and I are both big fans of, Mike Nichols, the director and writer. And really, a very famous guy. You could say that modern comedy sketches were kind of invented by Nichols and May.
One of the forefathers.
Early
Mike Nichols and Elaine May were early on in the Compass Players, and then Second City.
In Chicago.
At
the very beginning of what we know as Saturday Night Live,
Arkin was in that company, and Shelley Berman. And Shelley Berman was mad at them because they went off and made a duo and got famous, and Shelley Berman didn't get to ride that train. He was with them in the Compass Players.
Woody Allen, his early work, he said he always wanted just to be as good as Nichols and May. That was with his plays and his short pieces and
that,
movies.
That late 50s, so, early 60s, I don't know, Mad Men era, whatever you want to call that, I think early Kennedy era, whatever, had a very different tone of like things were just bubbling up and starting to... expand, and that Nichols and May did these pieces where they would add. Actually, their sketches are pretty good. I can watch those. Sometimes with that stuff, I can't.
Yeah, sometimes it's a little too dated, and there's pop reference. You know,
Shelley Berman will talk to himself, and it was always like a phone call with somebody. Like, you know, they would do these. But Nichols and May, I always thought were pretty good at what they did, and they were like. They rocketed out of nowhere and became huge stars, and their entire career was about a 4-year window, 3-year window, and then they went off and became directors in their own movies.
Let me give you some of his movies.
Roll off the mic.
Because not just known as that kind of guy. Okay, I think his debut, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, which was a play that he adapted for the screen with Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor. Fantastic movie. If you've never seen that. The Graduate. All-time classic. I don't know. I've never seen the movie of Catch-22. How was that?
I have seen that.
That was him. Carnal Knowledge, 1971. Jack Nicholson. Terrific. Garfunkel.
That might be my favorite Mike Nichols movie. That is as...
Really good.
That is as scabrous and savage a discussion of male-female relationships.
It is. It's
as has ever been made.
It may seem a little dated to today's audiences, as The Graduate is, but still a great film. Gilda Live was a documentary about Gilda Radner that he directed in 1980. 83, Silkwood with Meryl Streep.
Another great movie.
Working Girl, 1988.
A good movie.
Postcards from the Edge, 1990.
That's all right.
Regarding Henry with Harrison Ford, 91. A good movie.
I mean, he really didn't have any stinkers.
The Birdcage, 96.
Wolf was kind of a little weird.
I'm skipping a few.
Okay. I mean, and then there's The Fortune with Warren Beatty. And
Primary Colors, which was adapted.
Okay,
the
I'll
book.
Tell you what about Mike Nichols. There's a guy who's bombs.
He most recently made Closer.
Yeah, The Closer
in 2004.
Was pretty good. Yeah.
And Charlie Wilson's War was 2007. That
Charlie Wilson's War is a really good movie.
Okay, I've never seen that.
I'll tell you, in Closer, it's Natalie Portman's naked ass for like a long time. There you go. Yeah, thank you. I will say this: Mike Nichols is a guy whose bombs were interesting.
Yeah, I mean,
Catch 22 doesn't entirely work 100%, but it's still better than the average.
You don't look at Mike Nichols and think of him as a Scorsese, where it's the style of it. It's more of the It's more of the competence of the script, really, of what you – there's a consistency to the scripts when you see a Mike Nichols movie, is that they translate well to the screen, that it, they work as – you know, the dialogue, that kind of stuff is more maybe what you should remember Mike Nichols as rather than when you think about, Hitchcock or Scorsese or sort of these great – and maybe that's why Nichols isn't considered – a great director. He's not like film students don't want to be Mike Nichols, but to
Mike Nichols' gift was with his actors.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
The Graduate's probably the most visually kind of inventive movie ever made. He's not, but that's the problem.
Yeah.
Showy guys.
Sure, yeah.
Michael Bay is the big all show.
Yeah.
Couldn't direct an actor to save his life. Showy guys. Cause it's a visual medium.
But Tarantino's a showy guy.
Right, but Mike Nichols was one of the great Broadway directors.
Yeah, absolutely. Nichols, great guy, so it's...
That's a real loss.
So he's gone. Let's do this. You have Islands in the Streaming. Do you want to give us a couple of names? Do you remember what you wrote down here? Or did you just show it to
you? I got them.
Yeah.
There's a couple...
And where do we see these? What are these?
Well, these are both on...
I know what one of them is. The other one, I don't know what it is.
These are both on Hulu.
Hulu, okay. Get your Hulu Plus
on.
And then these might be on the free Hulu, or do you have to have Plus for these?
That's a good question.
Because those old comedy shops are just on regular Hulu. Okay. Anyone can watch them. You can't watch them on a device without Hulu Plus, but you can watch them on your computer. If your computer's hooked up to your TV, you can watch them on your TV.
All right. I think you can watch... Okay, I think this is on Hulu.
Yeah.
On the regular Hulu.
If they're old, they're probably all on the regular Hulu, I would guess. That's usually what Hulu...
The older stuff.
The Hulu Plus is generally current season television, right? Isn't that how they kind of break it down? Yeah.
Hulu Plus, which is the... Yeah, Hulu Plus.
Hulu Plus is current season
television. If you want to watch the episode of Arrow from Tuesday, that's
Hulu
Plus.
All right. But if you want to watch an old Abbott and Costello TV show, you can go to your regular Hulu. Okay, go ahead.
The first up is a documentary from, I think, 2013.
Okay.
Which is called... Tiny.
Okay. I have no idea what that's about.
It's got a subtitle.
Actually, I think I know what that's about, but go ahead.
It's got a subtitle that's, and I'm going to have to look it up.
Tiny.
A short documentary about living small.
Okay, I know. Okay. I know the premise of that. Right. I've heard of that.
So Tiny is about a guy who has a plot of land. He's a young guy. He's in his, mid to late 20s, who is obsessed with building a tiny house.
Yeah.
And he has a plot of land out in the middle of the, in Colorado in the countryside.
Yeah.
And he sets about building, just with himself and his girlfriend, building this house, which is going to be like 160 square feet.
Yeah.
And the documentary is about all these people that build these, that sold their big houses or quit their jobs or whatever and built tiny houses.
Right.
Which... The entire house would be about the size of this studio.
Sure. 2,500 square feet? No, I'm kidding. That's not the size of the studio.
Yeah. I'm saying these houses houses average about 200 square feet.
You would look at this and say this is a shed in your backyard. It would be nicer than that, but I'm saying
it's a room.
You would look and go, this is where you keep your... In suburban America, this is where you keep your lawnmower, essentially. That size.
Oh, the house?
Space. Yeah, the size of the space.
Well, I'm saying this would be one room.
Right.
It would be like a one-room tenement.
Right.
But anyway, these people build entire houses with a little kitchen.
I didn't see this movie, but I've seen these tiny houses on shows.
And they have like one big room.
And they have a loft bed usually.
Almost all of them have a loft so that you have a second level. And they're tiny little houses. And I got to say, the houses themselves looked very appealing.
Sure.
The people in them were many of them were pretentious shitheads, including the guy who was the focus of the documentary.
Yeah.
Who you find both likable and kind of annoying.
Now,
and his girlfriend eventually at one point in a very telling moment is like, I think I want to live in New York. Now, and her point is like, if I'm going to live in a tiny space, I might as well live in Manhattan.
Live in a studio apartment, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're going to live in a tiny space just like in this house, but instead of being on the prairie in Colorado, you're going to be in Manhattan where your home is the city.
Yeah, but people don't realize. People go, how do people in New York live in studio apartments? I'm going to give you a secret. They don't stay in those apartments all day. They leave their house, and you hang out at the bar all night till 3 in the morning, and then you go home and you go to bed.
People in New York tend to not be...
Exactly.
They're on the street. They're at the coffee shop.
They're at work.
Shop,
yeah, they're not. They're at the park. Yeah.
They're rarely at their apartments all the time.
New York City is not a good place to live if you're a shut-in.
No.
It's not a good place.
Ferndale, Michigan, you can sit in your house and live like a king all day.
I've heard of people that do that.
But anyway, so Tiny was both, I thought, interesting and annoying.
Wow.
It's part of this whole, I think a lot of people, now these people had various reasons for living in tiny houses.
Yeah.
Some of them wanted to shed their debt and shed all their financial concerns. Some of them were more ecologically conscious.
They want to be a
and then some of them were just like what chicks do, which is like, I can't, I got to keep it simple. Guys.
Right.
Okay, now there are men who can live by themselves and have like three plates and two cups.
Sure.
Literally, a good friend of mine who's a bachelor who lives by himself, we took him to buy mugs because he's like, I only have one mug and I I might, you know, if I break it, I need.
Yeah.
So he like had to go buy mugs.
Sure.
There are guys who can live real simply because they just got their Xbox and they don't give a shit.
Yeah.
But these people, like women will do this like, I got to get rid of everything.
Women will get a like a smartphone. And that it ruins their life.
I can't.
You know, I can't have Facebook anymore. I just have to get off.
Right.
I just have to unplug.
I don't find guys doing that very often.
No, guys don't. Guys don't go. All I do is watch Netflix. It's not good for me. You know, like it's never because ultimately that's not the cause of the problem anyway.
No, I just don't.
Yeah.
Guys will do it once in a while.
But
I rarely hear guys go, I got to get rid of all this.
Right,
junk.
And I know what you mean about these tiny houses because I've watched this treehouse show that's on where the guy makes a treehouse. And the people that live in those are batshit fucking crazy too. So it's not that different from tiny house people is the treehouse people. And they're idiots too, so fuck them. All right, but the documentary sounds good. We'll give that a look.
It's an interesting documentary. Right. It's a little annoying. It's kind of like I saw one about a guy that was like going to make zero. He was going to live off the grid and live in
zero
in New York, zero pollution man.
Zero carbon, yeah.
And that was actually really interesting and also annoying.
Yeah, those guys.
So this is in that category. Tiny, the music in Tiny is like, it sounds like you're in a Starbucks. It's what music I like to call a potpourri fart.
Okay.
It's, or you're in a Barnes & Noble. It's just all like, ooh. Mm. The music's annoying. But the houses themselves I found kind of cool.
Yeah.
And how they solved problems and put little thing, you know.
Sure.
Put the fridge under the thing. Anyway. The other thing.
And by the way, every dumb girl will see that and go, I want one of those.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Stupid. So don't show your girlfriend.
Yeah. If or else you're going to end up living in some shack.
You're going to end up living, you're going to be building, you're going to be with a nail gun.
Yeah.
Putting splints together.
Every girl wants that until they figure out they can't have a cat because the fucking litter box would stink the place up.
You know, one person can live in the tiny house.
Exactly, I know.
A lot of these are couples, and you're like, and one of them was like a family with children. I'm like, what are you, nuts?
These broads in their goddamn dresses and shoes won't fit in a goddamn tiny house. They're out of their fucking minds. Okay, move on.
Well, that is certainly true in my case. We need room for the shoes.
Right, your wife needs room for shoes. You ain't going to live in no tiny house, you dummy. I'm not talking about your wife, but
it's fine.
If you're a woman listening to this,
this skirt,
this is for you.
The shoes. All right, and there are women that listen to this who
I disagree.
I'm telling you, I know these women have more shoes.
They do. They have a lot of shoes. You're not living in a tiny house, lady, sorry.
That's right.
It ain't going to work. You got too much nail polish.
And your initials are A.O.,
All right, move on to the next thing in the streaming thing with the thing.
The next streaming thing.
You have a whole segment.
This is a very, I know, but this is the rarities of weird stuff I find.
Okay.
This is completely different direction. This is the show Fridays.
Fridays.
Which was from ABC, and it was their attempt to knock off SNL.
Late 70s to early 80s, or was it strictly early 80s?
I think it was like 79 to 83 or something. Okay. So, Fridays. It's not the whole series. I think it only had three seasons, but it was.
It's only some of the Fridays are available.
Not every episode, but there's like episodes from each season.
But I believe they want you to buy the DVDs, or maybe there's rights reasons why they can't use them.
I'm
all
not quite sure.
I believe there was some hullabaloo when these got released on DVD because no one had seen them in a long time.
They had been long missing.
They had been in the vault,
And so it was cool for me because I didn't get the DVDs.
Sure, yeah. And you were probably too young to appreciate Fridays in its heyday.
I remember
being on, but
I
don't
remember seeing it as a kid, and I remember specifically one sketch that traumatized me. At the time, there was like Baby Seals were getting clubbed.
Okay.
Do you remember this? It was like...
No, I don't remember any Fridays. I've seen clips of...
No, I'm saying it was a thing in the...
Oh, like, in the world.
There was like a big reporting on like...
Yeah, baby seals. Were going, that was the environmental...
They were selling seal pelts and they were killing baby seals.
The problem of
like,
the day.
We must stop this. Yeah. So Fridays did a bit where they were like, look at all this... People were clubbing Muppets and turning them into backpacks.
Okay.
So all the Muppet merchandise. I remember as a kid being horrified that they were clubbing Muppets. Anyway... Fridays was ABC's.
Is that on Hulu?
I don't know. I haven't seen that sketch yet, but maybe it's in there. ABC's attempt to knock off SNL.
Yeah.
It starred Larry David.
Yeah, I remember Larry David, yeah.
Michael Richards.
Yeah.
Melanie Chardoff.
Okay.
Stop me when these names.
Nah, I think I'm about done. Give me some more.
Bruce Mahler.
Yeah.
Darrow Igus.
Can you say Larry David and
Brandis
Kemp.
Richards again? What I'm saying. It's Larry David and Michael Richards
but
and people you've
I'm
never seen
I'm guessing people wrote that had some... Because I know people from that show went on to big things, so I'm guessing...
I'm not sure if these were groundlings or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know,
And some of the actors, actually, you'll... Okay, Melanie Chardoff you'll recognize because she's been in
I don't know her by name, but...
She's been in a lot of things in sitcoms, and she was on Parker Lewis Can't Lose and whatever. She's probably the best of the players that isn't Michael Richards and
Larry David. Yeah.
Larry, it's funny.
So Larry did this pre-SNL then?
Yes.
Oh, okay, because Larry was right.
It is funny seeing Larry David doing sketches and doing characters. He's got one bit called The Golden Boys where they're like wrestlers, but they go to like a bar to like pick up chicks.
Okay.
And they're just showing off like, no one can do the stunts we can do. And it's Larry David like doing a heel wrestler bit like he's Ric Flair. Really weird stuff. I'm not going to say it's all funny.
Right. Well,
because
that stuff is of its time, you know.
It's of its time. You want to watch Reagan jokes?
Yeah.
This is probably their most famous sketch.
By the way, I do want to watch Reagan jokes, so I'm going to go to Richard Belzer's show tomorrow. Watch an hour of him, Belzer.
Oh, is he what?
That's what Belzer's known for.
Oh, it's Reagan.
Belzer still does Reagan.
I thought Belzer was coming to town.
I'm just making jokes about Belzer.
Like,
do I want to hear Reagan jokes?
But this is a, you know, this is a comedy sketch. I get you.
Because Belzer still does Reagan.
I got you now.
Because that was when he was in his heyday.
I'm picking up what you're laying down, Big Hoss. Anyway, it's a sketch show from 1981, so you'll see, like, there's the Ronnie Horror Picture Show.
Sure.
Where they did the Rocky Horror Picture Show, but with Reagan in the transvestite outfit.
Can you?
And Larry David plays Nixon.
Okay.
It's weird. The highlights of these shows, the music's good. They
I was going to say, are the bands on these? Hulu's
the Clash is on there.
I remember Devo was on there.
Cars, Devo. Some of the band. Like,
I believe, and I've seen this recently, Gary U.S. Bonds.
What?
Gary U.S. Bonds was on Fridays.
Was he really?
Yeah. Because remember, Gary U.S. Bonds in the 80s, Springsteen did an album with him.
Okay.
And he went and he did this little, if you remember This Little Girl?
Yes.
Here she comes.
Yeah, I know. I know Gary U.S. Bonds.
And he did Quarter to Three.
I'm not going to say all of this, okay, because I've watched about four episodes. One of them, there was The Cars, The Clash, like Pat Benatar, and then... Randy Meisner and the Silverados.
Yeah, okay.
So you don't remember...
Once in a while you get a clunker, but at the time...
But the music guests are pretty good. The sketches, I'm not going to sit here and go, they're great.
Right.
But it's interesting if you're into... Like, we watched The Comedy Shop. If you're interested in that period of comedy, which for some reason I am kind of compelled to that...
I still occasionally watch those comedy shops.
Those late 70s,
and
early
80s. I still think they're good.
This is worth taking a look at. Find the famous episode with Andy Kaufman... that caused a lot of controversy where they got in a fight that was staged. And then they have Kaufman on the next week being like having to apologize for the fight and going, no, it was real.
Okay.
And that stuff's good. Billy Crystal's on one of them. They're weird. I'm not going to say it's great, but it's worth a look. All right, next thing.
Let's move on here. Just a couple things. These are, first, something that's on TV that I guess is a movie on HBO. Banksy Does New York, the documentary about Banksy's month-long residency in New York last October. I thought was pretty good. Banksy didn't make this movie, so it's not Exit to the Gift Shop.
Yeah.
But it is a look at the hysteria that surrounded Banksy's work. And now I followed when that was going on. I would go every day to Banksy's website, and I would see what the new piece was, and I would look at it for a couple minutes, and there's a little audio thing that you could play that would sort of describe the piece. usually in a not altogether serious way. And I was entertained sitting at home doing this. But there were maniacs who went out every day and tried to get the piece. And then other graffiti taggers were tagging. And it's all documented in this HBO documentary.
Well,
It goes on a little too long, but it's a good look at that. It's not Exit Through the Gift Shop 2. But I
liked the guys that he went.
Did you watch this as well?
He went and tagged. I don't know if I saw the whole thing, but he went and tagged in places where he went and like deep into the Bronx and Queens and stuff,
yeah,
into places that are kind of off the tourist map.
Right.
And at one point, there were guys like charging you,
right? Yeah, yeah,
$10
yeah,
bucks
yeah,
to take, yeah, a picture of it,
yeah,
or something.
Right.
I'm like, much like there's lots that aren't really parking lots.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a hustler.
It's a guy hanging out, yeah, going, it's $10 to park here. You're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, so there was lots of that, and they
showed. There were hustlers holding up they put a cardboard box over.
But there's a lot of stuff where, you know, they show a family. He did this, like, this Sphinx sculpture out of, like, cement bricks at this, like, you know, in this, like, sort of, like, junkyard. And they show this Puerto Rican family haul it away,
mm-hmm,
and then an art dealer buys it, you know, on consignment to sell it for $1 million. And so it's very interesting, you know, what happens to the art when it's done.
Well, that happened
some
here.
Of it gets painted over. Yeah, Detroit, we have that big controversy over that.
A gallery chiseled a Banksy off a wall. And by the way, the context of the piece was it was on a half-collapsed wall.
It was like the Packard plant, wasn't it?
At the Packard plant. And he said, I remember when this was all trees.
Yeah.
And, of course, they hacked out the
thing
chunk
in,
of the wall,
it's sitting in
and
a gallery,
loses the context of what it was.
Yeah, well, that's what happens. But that's the thing that happens with it. And, of course, Banksy, who isn't in this movie in any way, he doesn't do any interviews like he does in Exit the Gift Shop. It's more about the hysteria and what happened. And you see, you know, at the last day, the thing he puts up, I don't want to ruin it for anyone, but there's, like, cops that get involved. It gets pretty crazy. And I thought it was an entertaining look at that. If you're not into art, like, again, it's not as good a film as Exit Through the Gift Shop, but as a document of that month, if you enjoy Banksy, mm-hmm, if you enjoyed his stunt of selling his canvases in a little, by being sold by a little old man off Central Park for $60.
That was great.
Bucks. That was a great, you know, it's a lot of pranks and that kind of
stuff.
And
by the way, those canvases go for big money.
Hundreds
afterwards.
Of thousands of dollars, they say in that. So that's pretty good. That's on HBO. You can stream it on HBO Go as well. A couple things if you want to rent a movie, I'm going to recommend a couple things. Snowpiercer was released basically straight to video, although it might have played a few times.
Yes.
It's now on Netflix, and that came out over the summer. If you want to see, who's the guy, who's Captain America?
Chris Evans.
He's the star of Snowpiercer. Very weird. It's a Korean action movie with sci-fi elements, and it kind of feels like The Wizard of Oz meets, like, a Jackie Chan movie.
The world
weird.
Is frozen, and they're on a train.
Yeah.
The train contains, like, the survivors.
It's
of
the only
apocalypse.
Survivors of humanity.
Yes.
And there's different classes on the train. And the lowest class decides to rise up and rush the front of the train to get to the upper classes. I don't want to ruin anything else. Good movie, though. It's on Netflix. You don't need to, you know, you don't even have to dial this up on your pay-per-view anymore for $7. It's on Netflix. Go watch it. It's very good. Maybe a little too long, but good movie. Again, some real good stuff in this. A lot of weird cameos in this, too, that you'll see. Allison Pill shows up for, like, one scene. This is weird shit like that. So you'll see famous actors. Tilda Swinton is one of the big villains in this. And I don't even want to give away sort of the actor that shows up at the end because that's a mystery. So I think the less you know about Snowpiercer, the better if you go into watching this. And that's the way most movies are, aren't they, Corey? The less you know, the better.
That's been my philosophy.
Although it's the problem with people is they need to see the trailer to make them want to see it. And I'm saying, skip all that. Just watch Snowpiercer. It's on Netflix. It's real good. Watch that. If you want something good to rent, I think this is gonna make a lot of top 10 lists, even though,
mm-hmm,
again, this movie played very small theatrically and kind of blew up in the pay-per-view realm. But Jon Favreau's Chef.
Oh.
Real good. So go see Chef, right?
I'm going to disagree.
Oh, okay. Well, you're off the show. It's been nice knowing.
Come on.
Get the fuck
you
out.
You thought that was a good
Chef
movie?
Chef was a good movie.
You thought it was a good movie?
It was a feel-good movie.
Oh, Christ.
You fucking dick.
Who wants a feel-good
movie? You jaded asshole.
Who wants a feel-good
you
movie?
You jaded fucking cocksucker.
Okay,
all
right.
All the guy does is cook and eat food like you like to do, you foodie fuck. And now you're hating a guy for making a movie about it.
Look, it's just mediocre. It's just good. Not, there's it's nothing
good.
There.
It's good.
Look, it's good. Good. It's good. It's good. You're going to tell me a movie in which Jon Favreau. It's good.
That's the whole point of the movie. The whole point of the movie is people want chocolate lava cake because they like it.
All right.
That's what the movie is.
But you know what? You know me. When have I ever been like, people want it, so let's give it to them.
But then people don't
want more.
People don't want stupid shit. This is smart. Just because
it's an indie movie doesn't mean it's the same boring bullshit lie formula. You're going to tell me a movie in which Sofia Vergara, this is as dumb as John Turturro fucking her. When I
never saw it. By the way, that John Turturro Woody Allen movie, I believe, is on Netflix.
It's
now.
The worst fucking if you
watch,
shit ever.
Which I haven't even bothered to watch.
Faded Gigolo,
I think, is on there.
All right. So this is a movie. I love
this. Corey's saying no to Chef. Everyone I know that's seen Chef has loved it.
All right.
I've talked to people that have seen it. They've all loved it. I loved it.
Chef is cute, but it's a nothing. There's nothing to it.
Get out of here.
Here's the deal. John Favreau's a chef, okay? He doesn't. And his ex-girlfriend, or his ex-wife is... Stop it. You just admit you're a middle brow.
Middle brow.
You're a fucking middle
brow. I'm a middle brow.
You watched the entire Abbott and Costello collection, and at no point went, I've seen these jokes before! You want to get mad about something. You at no point went, wow, hey, the Nazis just made radios and hid them in fruit. I wonder how long until the donkey eats them. You can see that joke coming 40 fucking miles away if you were 7!
Won't you go
watch middle brow?
Go watch Mad Men, you fucking hack.
I am a highbrow.
Yeah, you are. Yeah,
you're a middle brow. Look the fuck. Okay. Oh, what a bull. This is just as much.
Chef is a fine.
This is like Legally Blonde for hipsters. What a bunch of shit Chef was. This fucking. He's fucking Scarlett Johansson, and he goes, I don't feel good about myself. Let me go back to fucking Sofia Vergara. Are you fucking? You'd crawl through 20 miles of broken glass to smell the pussy.
So when John Favreau makes a movie about a fucking billionaire who turns into a robot, that one you fucking like. That one was. That one said something to you.
I enjoyed
that one.
That
spoke
one.
To you. You fucking fat piece.
This movie's cute.
He made Iron Man.
I know, and Iron Man's in the movie. Playing Iron Man, basically. No, Chef was fine, but people
Chef
like...
Chef was good.
It's not...
It was a fine
there's
movie.
A, there's a difference between Chef and a good movie.
It's a good little movie.
It's cute. It's nothing happens.
Movie.
It's just... It's
a good
just,
little movie.
You know how many... here's a thing I can tell you about being a film critic for a decade plus. There's just as many shitty indie movies as there are Hollywood movies.
I agree with you.
It's just the Hollywood movies tend to be shittier on the spectrum of shit.
This isn't one.
And the indie movies get away with being shitty because they're indie movies, so people immediately give them it's kind of like when a girl goes on stage in an open mic for the first time.
Okay.
She gets an audience bump because they want to be nice to her.
Right.
A lot of times indie movies get this, like, we can be just as mediocre and the same old shit.
I get what you're saying, and indie movies have the thing where it's cool because only a certain number of people can see it, and it becomes your little click thing, and then it expands and nobody likes it. This is a movie that as it expands, and it's not expanding anywhere theatrically, but as people see this on pay-per-view, and if this goes to HBO, I think people will like it, that people are liking this movie. People that see this, this is a movie that not enough people saw. This is a movie that should have played wider when it came out, and it didn't because they didn't have the money and they didn't know how to market a movie that is, in a way, a throwback in a lot of ways. And I've heard Favreau say this in interviews to something like, you know, Kramer versus Kramer or, you know, The Goodbye Girl or something like that. And I agree with it. It does, you know, you don't have to feel like, you know, just because a movie makes you feel good doesn't have to, you know, you don't have to feel like you're a dummy.
No, it just
you know,
it's just to me.
You know,
to me, it felt like a poof of nothing.
Well,
it was
look,
cute, but whatever.
I mean, but look, there's great pop songs and there's garbage pop songs too. This is a good.
Well, look, all right. You want to talk about? You were saying that the movie you saw was funny in every scene. I'll tell you a movie that's not a good movie, but I liked.
Okay,
We're the Millers.
Yeah, I saw We're the Millers.
I laughed at that.
I laughed at that.
I don't want to sit here and go, I'm above.
I thought We're the Millers was good.
I don't want to sit here and go, I'm above.
Middle brow. And that's you know, borderline low brow.
Well,
We're the Millers.
That was.
The Kevin Hart movie was low brow.
What I guess my frustration with Chef is it has the appearance of being something with some more substance that it didn't have.
But you know what? I think it's also what you bring to it. You're going to bring something to it where maybe you're expecting more out of Jon Favreau, which I don't know why after what he's made, but for some reason you like to hold him up because of
No, you know what? Jon Favreau is not an artist.
No,
he's not a. He's not a.
What was the movie him and Vince Vaughn made? Swingers. Yeah.
Swingers.
Everyone holds him up as he's the Swingers.
Swingers is a great movie.
Like, okay, but you know what?
At the end of the
day, this is a better movie. This is a better movie than Swingers. This chef better than Swingers.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Swingers is more memorable.
Well, listen,
has funnier stuff in it.
Only one of us can be right, and the person that says it louder and more often is the one that ultimately going to win. So.
Sure.
No, but that's fine. Look, different opinion.
You won't remember Chef in 3 months. Swingers it's been in your mind for 15
years.
Here's
the
thing. Remember it. Okay.
We agree on what Chef is.
Mm-hmm.
We just disagree on how it made you feel.
I'll tell you what. I will say this to you.
Yeah.
And this is going to go into the next movie I talk about.
Okay.
Before we end this show.
I got one more movie to talk about.
I've got a legitimately great movie.
If you defend this next movie, I'm stabbing you in the eye with this pen.
All right.
Let me hear what shit on something.
I have a legitimately great movie everybody should go see.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm harder. You know, I'm a jerk to a lot of open mic comics.
Sure.
I'm a little harder on people I believe have potential. Matt McClowry, we were dicks to when he started out. Adam Sokol, we were dicks to. Chef seemed like it should have been better than it was, and it was just kind of mediocre.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead. What are you going to... What?
No, you're not... You were going to do a movie, or are we going to save
What's
it?
Your movie?
I'm saying here's a movie that no one can like, no one should like. You're going to be tempted. You're going to look at this. You're going to say, I like these people. They were maybe in a movie together that you even liked, which would have been Bad Teacher, which I never saw, but I know people liked it.
Oh, God.
This fucking sex tape with fucking Cameron Diaz and Jason Segel... is one of the worst movies I've ever seen. It's one of the worst movies of the year. It's directed, and it's got a pedigree. It's got good... Yeah. What's this? Oh, God, who directed this? It's not... It's second generation guy. It's not Jason Reitman. It's... what's his name? Who's the guy that made Grand Canyon?
Oh, Kasdan?
Yeah, it's Jake Kasdan directed Jake Sex Kasdan. Tape. Who has made good movies, right? Can we agree that Jake Kasdan,
but
you don't hear Jake Kasdan and go, oh, that'll be a piece of shit, or that's an Adam Sandler movie.
Uh-huh.
This fucking sex tape is the worst thing I've ever seen. And there's good, Rob Corddry is in this, Ellie Kemper is in this, there's a good supporting cast in this
one. Well, by the way, that doesn't mean anything anymore.
I know, because they put those guys in everything now.
There's like a list of actors you can have in a comedy.
Yeah.
Jane Lynch. Anybody from the state?
Yeah, right. You're right.
You know, and the Ellie Kemper.
Yeah.
There's like Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah.
And individually, these people are funny and do good things. Craig Robinson. There's like a short list of about 12 people that they go.
Right.
Let's. If it's a black comedy, Mike Epps is in everyone.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Not a black comedy in the terms of a ironic.
Right. But yeah, I know what you mean. He's.
If it's an African American movie, Mike Epps is in every one of them. They just go put the guys from the state in every fucking movie.
Yeah.
And they sometimes, and then you go, oh, great, it's Joe Latrullio.
Yeah.
And then the movie sucks a dick.
Well, this movie is so bad, and the script is bad. It's cringeworthy in the way it depicts the sex.
Yes.
And I know that's a problem that comedies that get too sexy, you know, like, you know, what it was that Zach and Miri Make a Porno kind of had.
Yeah, that felt bad.
It just doesn't feel like these are real people. And they also do this thing, and I know, here's my biggest problem with sex tape.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, they do this thing where, you know, you see them as college sweethearts, okay?
Yeah.
Cameron Diaz and Jason, they meet in college. So what they did is they digitally, like, euthanized them. That's not the right word.
They
made them youthful.
They scrubbed her digitally to make her look younger.
But they scrubbed both of them. So Segel is skinny.
Wow.
He doesn't have those, like, birthmarks. And the whole 20 minutes feels like... It's like Pixar or something, or it's like Avatar.
By the way,
it's weird.
That doesn't work.
Yeah.
And movies try to do that.
And I'm just watching this going, you know, they should have just let them put some makeup on and wear vintage clothing.
That's what they call the uncanny valley.
Because they do that in How I Met Your Mother, where they just put Allison Hannigan in a black wig and make her look a little goth. And that's college, you know.
It's
the
hard
college
to make people look younger.
And they did this thing digitally, I guess, for real, and it's awful. And then when they get to the actual, you know, where they're 40 and they're, you know, having, you know, make this sex tape, I guess Jason Segel, because he was going to run around naked, lost a bunch of weight, and he just looks weird. And I don't want to dump on a guy for losing weight and saying he should have been fat, but, you know, Segel was kind of this lumpy guy and whatever. And he's still like kind of lumpy, but he's just skinny.
Well, Chris Pratt got ripped.
But he doesn't look like Chris Pratt. He's not a handsome like Chris Pratt. No. He's more like a normal looking guy. And he might have had his teeth fixed. And he just looks odd for the whole thing.
Well, there's
and
a
it's
good...
not it's not it's not the Jason Segel that you know from How I Met Your Mother.
There's a good
or the 5 year engagement
seven
or
8 year
movies.
Difference between Cameron Diaz and Jason Segel, right?
Oh, age wise,
it's probably a good 7 or 8 years.
She's 43 or 42, and he might be 35. Yeah, but you know, it's still the whole thing is weird. And Cameron Diaz looks good for age, but they do these preposterous things where they have to break into somebody's house to get the tape back, and it's all stuff that no one would really do. It just doesn't even pass the giggle test.
You know,
it's one of the worst movies of the year. Skip it, skip it, skip it.
Well, that to me looks like the Mulaney of...
well, we didn't even talk about Mulaney, but we're done.
I'm just saying, that's like the Mulaney of movies, where there's nobody believable.
Yeah.
They don't behave like an adult with a functioning...
Right, yeah.
Who has a checking account.
Sure, yeah.
Should be able to behave.
Right,
you know, everyone acts insane.
Because, you know, it's like
and they put plinky music behind it. Blink, 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 blink. And it's, you know,
it's the same thing. Horrible Bosses did this, but did it well, where you had to, you know, it's one of these things where you have this, you make this little slip up. And this is the way a lot of comedies are played. And maybe The Hangover kind of is too, where you just make this little mistake. Mm-hmm. And then you have to do this big, giant crime, essentially, to cover for the little oh, if my boss finds out about this, I'm screwed. Mm-hmm. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to burglarize a bank. Or, you know, it's some ridiculous thing.
Well,
and a lot of these comedies do this, and
also,
it just gets too extreme.
It's also a movie that's it's got no audience, because it's got people in their 30s.
Yeah.
And it's making jokes about the internet, but it's making jokes about how the cloud operates.
Well,
and
it's his son.
In that people who are the actual age to use the technology are going to go, well, that doesn't ring true.
Well, do you want to know? The premise is that he gets these iPads through his work. He works at a radio station.
Yes.
And he never wants the old iPads. So he gives them away, but they're all tied into his account.
Yes.
And he accidentally uploads the sex tape to the cloud where he puts his playlists.
Right.
And that's where it ends up, and then people see it.
Which,
and,
of course, the guy would not be dumb enough to do it that
and,
way.
And, if a guy was that savvy with the iPad, that wouldn't happen.
But they do that all the time where, because the screenwriter doesn't know how something works, then that becomes the problem.
Right, and they go through a lot of rigmarole to make it believable, and it just doesn't work, and the whole thing is just like, you just kind of go, Jason Segel, you're smarter than this. You wrote Forgetting Sarah Marshall. You've made good comedies. You're better than this.
Hey, you know, Cameron
Diaz. She's also in one of the other worst movies of the year, The Other Woman, which I'm not even going to review all the way. You can wait till the worst of the year movie list for that one.
That'll be a good one.
But that's awful too. So you know what? It's just skip this, skip it, skip it, skip it, skip it. It's the New York Jets of comedy movies. Thank you.
Oh, man.
We got to get out of here. We've done 2 hours. We watched a whole NFL game.
I will say, and I won't get into an extensive review, but.
Yeah.
Want to see a great movie?
Yeah.
Whiplash.
Whiplash.
Whiplash by a newcomer director named Damien Chazelle, starring Miles Teller, who has previously been in shitty teen sex comedies.
Well, he's also been in those indie movies that everyone thinks are going to be good but actually suck.
He did
The Spectacular Now, which was okay. I mean,
it wasn't amazing.
It wasn't great. Yeah, it was okay.
But it was good. Sure.
But that Shailene Woodley and him together. The universe will explode with these two hot young actors.
I'm waiting for her.
The future of cinema,
waiting for her to light my screen on
keep
fire.
Keep waiting,
Then there's he's in a lot of these
and it looks
that
great.
Awkward moment.
No, I like this.
But Whiplash is a really
J.K. Simmons.
J.K. Simmons should definitely be nominated.
I want to see this. No, you're good.
It's better than Birdman.
Okay, better than Birdman. Well, that's saying something. I haven't seen Birdman yet either.
Birdman. I could go on that, but I won't.
Okay, I think you reviewed Birdman on the show. Yeah,
Birdman. Whiplash. J.K. Simmons is fantastic.
Okay,
gives an unstoppably incredible, intense performance. As he is a instructor at this elite music school, and Miles Teller wants to be just the top notch jazz drummer in the world. Which, by the way, who gives a shit?
Well,
and it's about these guys.
It's not 1942. Yeah,
These guys are killing themselves for something that is not going to be appreciated.
Yeah.
And maybe he kills himself because there's five jobs that matter. At that level, So he's got to be the best. It's about the artistic process. It's about competition. It's about making something of yourself. It's about criticism. It's about teaching, learning. Great, great movie all the way around. You'll have conversations about it for days afterwards. And the performances are insanely great.
All right, Whiplash.
Go see Whiplash.
Go see that.
See, we give you something good on a big pile of shit.
For you. Lots of stuff, good
hillbilly hand fishing.
Lots of good
shit.
Stuff in here. Banksy does New York. Good movie. All right, let's get out of here. Thanks to Corey for coming in, doing this as always, and thanks to you for listening. Make sure to check out Joel Radio on Facebook, on Twitter. I'm at Joel Radio Show, at Corey Hall Comic on Twitter. Review us on iTunes. Review us on Stitcher. Subscribe on those services. Send us some feedback either through the main page, leave a comment, whatever you want to do. We want to thank you for listening. We're going to catch you next time. We're probably two shows away from the Assholes of the Year, the way I see it. Maybe one more, and then they'll get the Assholes of the Year, something like that. So we'll work out the schedule.
It's going to be
a big one.
It's going to be a good one.
Cosby, Goodell, Deathmatch, Asshole of the Year, Ray Rice.
Hey, spoilers.
Adrian Peterson.
Hey, come on now.
Let's do it now. Teasing you. We'll see you next time. Joel Radio.
You betcha.
Peace in the Middle East.
But peace in Ferguson.
It's 1985, and I'm a rapper. Maybe not.
South Africa.
Hey.
Free. Free Mandela.
Don't tell me Sun City, cause I don't wanna play. Good night, everybody. You're just cracking up over there. Sun City. You know, Bruce covered that on tour in South Africa. Cause Steve Van Zandt wrote that. You know, Stevie, little Stevie.
Yeah. Did Africa Black Mambazo go on tour with
them? No, but I think Mos Def did it with him, actually. I'm not making that up.
I think Mos Def did it with Cosby, too. Oh, that was Dougie Fresh.
Dougie Homo? Homo? Dougie Fresh?
Doug Flutie?
Dougie Fresh? No, Dougie Fresh Faggot?
Stop.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye, people.